you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm playing it. Good morning, everybody. I don't know if I'm in the studio because I'm under anonymous. That's weird. Okay. Anyway, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. How are you doing today? We are Global. I am your host, Brian Hammer Jackson. That's right. The Brian, the Hammer, the Jackson. That's who I am. That's who I am. And you know it. I don't have to introduce myself to you. You bastards. You know exactly who I am, you bastards. That's right. That's right. You know, today we're going to talk about something that even our regulars or morning crew get mad. They get mad at me. And a lot of people get mad at me because they're scared. They don't want to hear the truth. But I am the truth teller. I've been to the mountaintop and I fell down and I went back up again and I got the answer. That's what I did. I learned my lesson. So the lesson is if you fall down, you pick yourself up and you go right back up the mountain. And I got it. And what it is that people were upset is love. I said there's no such thing. People were upset about that. And and the ones who got more upset are the I hit a nerve. Because what I said was love is not a tangible thing. It's not a defined word. It's not a defined emotion. It's not real. It's like saying the word magic or saying the word unicorn. Love is an expression. Love is a meaning to different meanings to everyone. It is not one word meaning for all. It's not absolute. That's what I believe. Love will never keep anything together. If you're just in a situation for love, it's going to fail. You mothers know what I mean by your kids, boyfriends, lovers, cyber fuckers. You know what I'm talking about. Because there's different characteristics of love, and a lot of people will tell you, well, I love my dog different than I love my husband. Well, yes, you do. But you can't, or I love my aunt or my uncle different than I love my mom and dad. Okay, explain it. Explain the difference. Explain the intensity. Explain that love. But you really can't. Because it's a feeling, and it's a feeling that you have. Is that a tangible thing? Is that a one thing? So, you know, I was on a flight going to Alaska too long ago. And I love my grandkids. I happen to be 30 years old and a grandpa at 30. Do the math. Anywho. So the flight attendant comes on. And they're giving you these flight instructions. You know. And I was paying attention this time, and I usually don't pay attention because I don't know what you call them, flight attendants. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to hear the proper name, what you call them. Because she had big boobs and she had a cleavage. And I said, oh, it's time to pay attention. It gets my attention. There she is. And I keep thinking of her doing me a lap dance while she's explaining to me how to survive in the air, just in case of crash. Let me say hello to the morning crew. Hello, morning crew. Robin. Hello, Robin. Good morning.
Hello.
Robin is our champion of password and our game champion. Nobody could beat her. She dethroned the queen, kicked the queen out, stomped on her head, took the throne. She is now the champion of our game, password and match game. Look at Robin, the champion. She is the champion. Good morning. And also, Robin is responsible for the fantastic guests we had all month. I mean, the quality of guests, the quality of people who came in here. I mean, for me to interview again, I'm excited to interview again because Robin did it. She's just wonderful. Thank you, Robin, for being here. Thank you, Robin, for being part of the morning crew and replacing another morning crew member. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored.
You're welcome.
And I'm still working on more interviews.
I'm working with you, and I know you are. It takes time. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. It takes time. It's frustrated. Don't do it as a hobby and not as a, you know, don't sacrifice your time with Ryan or with Honey. I'm here, and we're waiting for you when you can, and we just appreciate it, Robin. Thank you so much. Thank you, kiddo.
Thank you. Oh, I don't wait on Honey. Honey sits on me, no matter what I do.
Well, you know, my honey I know my honey sits on me too. You know, but I think it's two different honeys. I think we're talking about.
This one is a dachshund, and she's not sitting on me. She's laying on me.
You know, you brought up when I say my honey, you know, when you first meet, you know, people are skinny. And you don't mind them sitting on your face because they're skinny, but when they start getting weight a little 10 years from now, it's like, you need to get up. You need to get up. Yeah, baby. You are smothering my nose and my mouth. You got a little heavy there. You're not like you were 125 pounds ago. But you don't say anything. You just walk around with a broken nose. Who knows? I need help. I need therapy. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
And she doesn't need any introduction, so I'm not going to give her one. Let's go on with the show. No, I'm only kidding. Pat. Pat Oberlein. I cannot say enough for Pat Oberlein. You know Pat. She's on, she got the most viable player in 420 magazine. Smoke him if you got him. That's Pat on the cover. Pat sponsors the show with her Pat Oberlein Bakery, Over the Line Bakery, where mushrooms is another room part of your house that you take a trip in. We'll work on it. Mushroom. Oh. The jokes are free, folks, but you got to pay for the good ones. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat Over the Line. Hello, Pat. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Pat, I was thinking about you this weekend, and I was bragging about you and Robin. So yeah, I have a friend. Pat, I have a friend. She's a real-life friend, and she was talking to me about she has a ghost in a house. Her friend just recently passed. His name was Bill. And Bill came back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she's having a problem with Bill. She's having a problem with Bill. And no, this is a real conversation. I'm not even joking. This is a real conversation. And she's having a problem. I said, so a friend of hers said something. She was our friend, too, a mutual friend. She says, well, how to get rid of Bill is that you get a candle, you light a candle. I think it's either a white candle or whatever candle, and then you pray a little bit, and Bill will be gone. Well, she lit the candle, and Bill just sat there and warmed I think he toasted a marshmallow with it. He didn't go. Bill didn't go.
That didn't work.
It did not work. And I said, you should come on a show because I got Robin and I got Pat. And she goes, yeah, I should, but She's a real life. If I talk to her, she comes on the show. She fits right in. She replaces another person. She's a real life. Her personality will fit right in with all of us. You know what I mean? She goes, "The fuck you say?" I really
all
like.
Right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, she fits in. But she's going to be one of our guests. With she's also a financial management risk management and banking. So I want her to come on and talk about. Yeah, she always cracks me up because I said, you know, I want you to come on and talk about. I could say something like really nice. You know, I like you to talk about risk management. Oh, those stupid fuckers. Okay, here we go. He goes, people are so stupid. Yeah, you're perfect for the show. Come on in. And then I said, you know, Pat, you can talk to Pat and Robin because they deal with the supernatural. You know, Pat is supernatural. They know her.
And
they deal with stupid too. Yes, we do. We deal with stupid.
I deal with stupid this morning.
We love stupid. Stupid loves us. We love stupid. We don't discriminate. But she's having a problem with spiritual Bill. And she's working so hard. She goes, I'd like to talk to Robin. I'd like to talk to Pat because I'd like to know how to get rid of him. And she's having a problem with Bill, spiritual Bill. And so we didn't talk for a while. And then I brought it up a month later. I said, well, how's it going? She goes, well, I ignored him, but he's back. I go, okay. You need to talk to Pat. Pat, you know,
yeah.
Pat cleans houses. She cleans your soul. Mm-hmm. And if you're good, Pat will give you a cookie. And that cookie will make you trip, and it'll make you see him. But, yeah. So she's going to come on and talk to you, Robin, and she's going to talk to you, Pat, because Robin has some spiritual self, too. So that should be fun, but that's a serious thing. What do you guys think? Are you guys up for it?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, there you go.
And she's a good friend of mine, so let's have some fun with her. Because like Robin says, we love stupid. I like that. That should be our new slogan for the show. Brian Hammer Show, we love stupid. I think you're going to take that.
We deal with stupid.
Yeah, we deal with stupid and we love stupid. Hello, stupid. Hi, Brian. Hi, stupid. What's your problem? And we are very
stupid. I can tell who's going to call in.
Stupid Will. Mm-hmm. Hello, stupid.
No.
No, Brian. You're an a-hole. I know. Oh. Okay, enough of that. People are tuning in. You got the title of the show. Here's the title of the show. Reason that your marriage is over. Just let go. Just let go. And some people talk about stupid. Yeah, talk about stupid. Some people don't know when to let go. And we're going to talk about not just marriage, friendship. We're going to get into friendship, too. Now, I am not a psychologist. I'm on the other side of a psychologist. I see them, and they tell me what's wrong with me. And then I pay them for it. Well, Brian, you're crazy. Okay, that'll be $250. Thank you. See you next week. Okay, I'll bring more crazy. I went to a psychologist one time at 19 years old. I actually did. I thought I was going nuts. And so a friend of mine who was getting his license at the time, he says, you know, Brian, I go, what? You know, Brian, I go, what? You know, Brian, I go, what? What? He goes, you should really see somebody. I said, that's my problem. I have this girl. See, the problem that I had, this is not a lie. I swear to God. Only guys have this problem. Women don't have this problem. Only guys do. I really do.
Okay.
See, the problem that I had, and I'll be honest with you, I never told nobody this. This is a secret. Only you two are going to know about this because let's keep it between us. Wink, wink. What 18-year-old kid was an 18 or 17? 17. What 17-year-old kid has problems, right? I didn't have no problems. You know, I was in the newspaper. I was an athlete. My grades were good. I have an amazing ass and a perfectly shaped penis. I was good to go in high school. You know? Then you can already tell. And why would I go to a doctor? Look at this. So I went to this. So somebody could go to the doctor, right? I go, okay. I was the Adonis of love. So the problem that I had, I made a promise. Oh, my God. It still drives me crazy today. Never do this. I fell in love with a virgin.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My problems began. Oh, my God. It was my downfall. You know, when I hear these people, usually Middle Eastern people, like, yeah, you'll do this, and then you go and you marry 100,000 virgins will be waiting for you. I don't want them. Give me the sluts. Why do I want 100,000 virgins? I want the sluts and the whores. Why do I want the virgins?
I want to know what they're doing.
Exactly. Why do I want to go to heaven and going, well, is this how you stroke it? Ow, ow, ow. No. No. Sorry. Just sorry. Why do I want that? I mean, I can ask you ladies. It's like, okay, you take this door, and you got a virgin guy, and you take this door, and you got Brian. Hello. I'm an eater. I'm an eater. What door are you going to choose? What door are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the door that you want to really train and go, okay, okay, class 101, how to satisfy me, okay. Or do you want to go to the next door where Brian's already there with his pants down going, hello, glad you came. You can go there. Brian knows what to do. But you're like, I'm going to choose number two with Brian. You go to the door, Brian goes, really? Your pants are still on? We don't have much time. I'm hungry. Slurp, slurp. Now you've choose the right door. Choose the right door.
Oh.
So I fell in love with a virgin. It was my downfall. And everything comes with it. She was nice. She was innocent. She was pretty. I was 17. She was 16. We were of the same age. Ooh. Don't you hate me. I was a junior. No, 17. I was a senior. She was a sophomore. Same school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she played an instrument, and she played in the band. So her lips are tuned. She played the flute. And I go, ooh, she's ready to go. I love the flute. You know? And I played with myself. So we both played musical instruments. But I fell in love with her. And she looked at me with those little baby blue eyes and so innocent. Like, Brian. Yes, honey. Oh, you know, I'm not really experienced. I go, yeah, I know. Now the devil in me was saying, but the angel in me saying, stop it. Stop acting stupid, okay? We have to be careful with this one. We got she's a virgin. She's fragile. She doesn't know about the world. And look at us. We've been molested with 35-year-old teachers, and we love her. I'm already tainted. I'm already tainted. I got condoms in my glove compartment when I drive my car just in case I get an accident and she's hot. I need help.
I showed him in the glove compartment my kid's dad one day. I said, what are you doing? I said, who's these? Oh, they're my friends. She says.
Exactly. You never know when you're going to need them in the glove compartment when you're driving. You got to be prepared. Always be prepared. Wow. That and the fuzzy dice. I'm ready to play. Let's rock and roll. So that was my downfall. And my friend, my best friend, was going out with her friend, who was also a B-girl, a virgin. She was a B-girl. And we're sitting there, and we're going, what do we do? I go, we do nothing because they're virgins. They're nice and big. But I want to fuck them. We can't fuck them. They're virgins. That's why they're virgins, because nobody fucks them, Brian. Well, we can. I'm not going to be a devil, you bastard. You leave that woman alone. You leave her vagina sacred. That was our conversation, because we used to drink. His mother used to, he was a cowboy, And so we used to go in the back and we used to drink in the garage. And her mother, he was a, you know, they got their horses, they had the ranch, and we became best friends. So we would drink the beers. And, I mean, it's like when you're a cowboy, you automatically have to, when you greet your guests with a beer. It's rude if you don't offer them a beer if you're a cowboy. Like, you get out of the cowboy union, they can kick you out of there if you don't offer them a beer. That's part of it. You go over, it doesn't matter if you're 16, doesn't matter if you're 17. It's like, hey, Jackson, yeah, here's a beer. Thank you. Some bitch. And they don't say some. Cowboys have a different language. Some bitch. It's S-U-M, some bitch. No, not A, but some bitch. That's how they talk.
Yep.
That's how they talk.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
next
I
thing
know.
You know, yeah, exactly, right, Robin? I talk like in the South, some bitch. And it's like, that's when I started learning how to eat Red Man and spit in my cup, because I used to go to school with chewing tobacco. Now, can you imagine you're in English class and you're chewing Red Man, chewing tobacco, and you got your cup there, and the teacher's going, okay, now, class, what's wrong with this sentence? And then you just go, and you just spit in the cup. Well, Brian, are you chewing? Yeah. You know, and you got the chew all over the bottom of your lip and on your chin and everything, and the cup's all
and
you're chewing tobacco. Yeah, and your teeth are all stained.
On your teeth, yes, I understand. I used to dip coconut in long cut in school because I couldn't smell.
Did you used to chew too? That's what we did.
I did. But
oh,
my teachers would just look at me and shake their head like, I'm not even going to say a word to her. You know, this is beyond what I would consider. It's just beyond all I could have seen, yes.
Yeah. It's funny to watch two people who are attracted to each other both doing chew. How you doing, babe? Hey, you're looking good. Yeah. He's got a cup in it. If you really like each other, you can switch cup and you can drink it. Anyway, let's get back.
Ew.
I know. I passed the line. So we're drinking there, and me and Danny were drinking. And Danny goes, Jackson, what are we going to do? I go, what do you mean we're going to do? What are we going to do? We got virgins. I go, damn it. We're seniors and what kind of losers are we? We're seniors and we got virgins. There's a lot of sluts that we could have had. He goes, yeah. I mean, so we thought in our heads that we can't handle it. You know, we got to treat them nice. They were fragile. They couldn't cuss in front of us. This is how we thought. You know, if they said a bad word, even though they were like, you know, great below, they were virgins. Virgins don't cuss. You never hear a virgin say dickhead and fucker. The F word? Really? Virgin?
Oh, I have. Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays you do.
And nowadays you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those were, in my days, those were bad girls. Ooh, they're bad.
Oh, yeah.
She's a cusser. She's a bad. And then they don't smoke cigarettes. They do not. They still in their you know, Easter dresses that they go to school because they're so, you know, they're like that. Then one day I get a phone call. So we're going out with the virgins for 3 months. And then I get a phone call. It's that way at night. And she goes, and she had that come hither breathy voice. Brian. Yeah. Brian. Yeah. Brian. What? I'm horny. What? And I said, no, you bad, naughty. Virgins don't get horny. She goes, what do you think I'm going out with you for? My brain. No. And he made that call. I'm horny. I go, shit. She goes, I want to play with myself. What do you mean? Virgins don't play with themselves, and virgins don't get horny. I had enough of this. I'm hanging up on you. Click. Hang up on her. I made a quick call to Danny. Danny, what? Danny, what? Danny, what? Danny, I got a call from Sandy. Danny and Sandy. Well, anyway, Danny goes, what? What did she say? She called you at 10 o'clock? Yeah, 10 o'clock. It's a school night. What did she say? She said she's horny. I know. Diane just called me, which is Sandy's best friend that he's going out with. Diane just called me. She just called you. Yeah. What did she say? I'm horny. What? They're talking about being horny together. He goes, what are we going to do? I don't know. This is really terrible. I know. True story.
Well, you know, everyone is a virgin until they're not.
I know, but we had. I mean, these are the people who were so pure that Pat would throw them in the volcano just to cure just to get rid of the demons. All right, let's throw them in. You know, that's how they were. That's how they were. So we had a dilemma. Mm-hmm. It really hurt in my head and then me and Danny going to Danny's house. He goes, "Here the beer, thank you." Danny, what's going on? He goes, "Some bitch, we got a problem." I go, "Yeah, we're having a problem." And he goes, "What are we going to do?" I go, "I don't know. Diane wants to come over Tuesday night. Tuesday night, that's a school night." He goes, "What the fuck's wrong with you?" I go, "I don't know. School night. I got to go to school."
Mm-hmm.
He goes,
"So
what are we going to do?
You can't do anything. It's a school night."
Yeah, we can't do anything in school night. You diversionize people on a Friday night, and then you have a weekend to think about it, and Monday you say you're sorry. That's how it works.
Diversionize. Now, that's a new one. That's fine.
Yeah, you can't diversion anybody Monday through Friday on a school night. What the hell's wrong with you? That's so rude. It's so naughty.
Oh, boy. So
Danny goes, "Diane just called me." I go, "What did she say?" Because now it's me and Danny talking like two little bitches. We're gossiping little bitches, and we got the virgins going, "You guys are little bitches. Shut up. We're talking." And Danny goes, "Diane's coming over." And I go, "Oh, shit. It's Tuesday already?" And he goes, "Yes." "Oh, shit. I got to go get Sandy. Sandy just called me, wants me to pick her up." "Oh, shit." "And she wants me to take her go over to your house." He goes, "Oh, fuck. What are we going to do? Dumb bitch. Let's have another beer." It's all true. It's all true. Go have another beer. Beer solves everything. When you don't know what to do, drink a beer. It solves everything. Have another beer. We have one. We had two. 17. Then we had three. Three became four beers. Three became.
You got drunk to go get something.
We did. It was three beers became four beers, and I remember I heard the cow, Daddy's cow, going. Yeah, it's like Danny's cow is like a rooster. I go, "Oh, shit, what time is it?"
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a rooster has a cow. Like the cow's reminding us it's time to get the virgins. I go, "Shit, time to get the virgins." I go,
"Better go get your own hamburgers."
Exactly. We were so fun. It's like, "Do you know where my keys are?" "I don't know." "You know where my car is?" "No." "Fuck. Fuck." "Do you know where my pants are?" "Dude, you got them on." "Oh."
Yeah, well, I was wondering about that one.
Exactly.
I've been wondering about that one. What are you doing without pants on?
Exactly, because you're just kicking back. You know, you put your hand in your pants when your dude's going to, you loosen up that Levi's, you're popping a beer. That top button goes. Get in the car, drive zigzag. Dude, am I on the street? "I think so." "All right, let's go get the virgins." Zigzag, zigzag, zigzag. Time to get the virgins. The girls come out in their virginal outfits, you know, Levi's, T-shirt, no bra, going, "Damn, they got no bra on, Danny. I know I never seen them. Don't look at my girlfriend because she has no bra on, but don't look at mine either." This is true. "Don't be looking at my girlfriend's virginal tits, Danny. Knock it off, Jackson. Don't look at her either." "We won't look at him, okay?" "Okay, that's the deal. We won't look at him." They get in the back seat. "We're not looking." And we kind of talk him out of it. We're drunk, and we're going, "You guys want to go to Chuck E. Cheese?" They go, "What? What?" "What do you want to get? Oh, we can fuck up that mouse, man. I didn't like that rat. Oh, I hated that rat, too. You didn't like that rat. Let's go fuck him up." He goes, "Are you guys drunk?" "No." Stupid Danny. Danny goes on, Danny has in his pocket, I can't believe it. You girls want a beer? I go, what the fuck? You got a beer in your pocket? I always carry a beer, Jackson. You carry a beer in your pocket? Yeah, just in case. The girls just drank it like water. Beer? Slurp, slurp, slurp. They just drank it up. And she giggling and laughing, Danny's looking at me. I go, oh, shit, we got a problem. We go to Danny's house, and we're sitting there, and Danny goes, want to go in the bunkhouse? And I go, bunkhouse? Yeah, I'm a cowboy. This is worse. Okay, we go into the bunkhouse, and all the thing was in the bunkhouse was a bed. I go, are you fucking kidding me? And the girls lay down in the bed, and they're going, wee! And me and Danny just sat on our chair going, are you fucking kidding me? Are we got to do this? He goes, dude, we got to do this, or we're going to think we're fags. You go, what are you talking about? We can't be fagging up. We got to do this. They'll laugh at us at school, and they'll tell people if we don't.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, we do have a reputation. We can't do this. We got to diversionize these people for the sake of our reputation. That's right, dude. We cannot be pussies. We got to get in there. And so there was one bed, and the girls laid. This is true. And the girls lay down.
Mm-hmm.
Beside each other. And they held hands beside each other.
Because
they're thinking, they held hands and they're going, this is it. This is it. And we're looking at the girls. I go, fuck, Danny, they're holding hands. He goes, fuck, yeah, this is weird. This is weird shit. Do you really think they're virgins? I think so. I don't know. Well, wait to find out. I go, why are they holding hands and their eyes are closed? I don't know. I said, should we hold hands? Get the fuck away from me, okay? I didn't know the ritual. With you white people. I don't know. Danny goes, I know what we need. I go, yeah, we do. Danny goes, another beer? Another beer. Beer sells everything. Beer sells all problems.
He sounds like,
oh, God.
He sounds like my ex-boyfriend.
Exactly. Beer... It's Wise beer. That's why they call it Budweiser. It's beer. It's Wise beer.
I don't know anything about Budweiser. Gives me a headache.
It does.
It does.
Oh, it does.
It gives me a headache.
Yeah. You know.
I can drink my others, and it doesn't do that. But anything Budweiser product.
My beer, and they don't have anymore, was Löwenbräu. I used to be high.
What?
High standard with my beer. I used to go Löwenbräu, and once in a while I'll go Michelob. But
yeah.
Bud, of course, yeah, I don't know. But that night we needed the beer. That night, the Wise beer told us what to do. We popped it open, we drank the beer, and it's like, whip. Then I started talking like a cowboy and never rode a horse. Well, partner, I guess we got to ride the horse. Yep. Giddy up. Yippee-ki-yay. So we both pulled down our pants and we didn't look at each other. Go, don't look at me. Don't look at me. So we turned away from each other. We turned away from each other. We didn't want that. We didn't want to see that. I don't want to see you naked. I don't want to see your thing either. Turn away. Don't look at me. And don't look at my ass either. I'm not looking at your ass. And the girls are saying, will you guys stop it? Stop it.
They're like, you're acting like the virgin, probably.
Exactly. Stop it. Let's have another beer. Beer knows everything. Girls go, can we have a beer? Yeah, beer, beer. Yeah, we need beer. Popped in. Girls going, okay, are we going to do this or what? I haven't finished my beer. Will you finish your beer, Brian? Okay, I finished. Then we pulled down our pants, and we got there, and we pulled down there. Danny and I, it was like we were, the synchronized swimmers. It was almost like we were synchronized, and we both did it. And it was like, boom, boom. It was almost like we were together, and then we gave each other high five, but we missed each other and hit each other in the ear because we drank too much beer. True story. Ow, I can't hear anything. True story. Diversionizing is a hard job. And we said, once we're in there, we can't go back. He goes, that's right. So we pull down our pants. We slowly pull down their Levi's. At the same time, And it was almost like a race because I looked at him and he was passing their button. And I'm going, oh, I can pass my butt. It was almost like competing with me. Stop it. You're going too fast. Take it too low. Stop. And the girls are saying, will you guys knock it off? Knock it off. Quit competing with each other. We're having a moment here. Okay. You're right. You know what we need, Danny? A beer. And the girls say, no more beers. No more beers. Let's do it. I love you. And it's like, oh. And then Diane said to Danny, I love you. Danny goes, oh. And then I said, she said she loved me first. No, well, your girl copied my girl. I go, no. She said, goes, knock it off, guys.
Yeah. Probably by that time they were completely out of the
mood. They had enough. They're ready to fuck the cow next door. They had enough.
Oh,
and then
God.
We got there and then we pulled down our pants and we're ready to put it in. And we kind of look at each other and go, don't look at my penis. Don't you look at my, I'm not looking at your dick. I'm not looking, I got a bigger dick. I'm black. Shut up. And then we counted. Are you ready? I go, yeah, we're ready. And then the girls held hands, and Danny goes, should we hold hands? Goes, what the fuck? What the fuck? I'm not holding your hands while we enter them. What the fuck's wrong with you? I'm getting out of here.
Usually
I'm
that's
only
not
kidding,
a,
dude.
A couple's.
Exactly, that's what it was.
That's not a couple's activity.
Yeah, a couple activity.
One on one.
It was like a couple of things. And we both did it. They were holding hands. We were both, our butts were in sync like a synchronized ballet water polo thing, going up and down. The girls, the legs, going whoop, they do. It was all in sync. If we were in the Olympics, we would have got the gold. And we didn't even rehearse this shit. And then it came to the part so it's like, Danny goes, I'm going to come. I go, well, you go ahead. I'm waiting. No, you're going to do it. No, no, I'm not. I'm holding on. But this is so good. Yeah, you go ahead. I'm going to wait. No, you can't do it. Let's do it together. I go, stop it. This is so gay. All right, we'll do it together. What? You know, then we did. So we diversionized them together. We did it. The girls were there. And then we did it. We had a beer. Later. You know what we need? Yeah, we need a beer. So we're drinking the beer. The girls were getting dressed. Danny's mother, who is a farmer's wife, she's with no shit. She's a farmer's wife. So she knocks on the door. Danny goes, oh, shit, it's my mother. I go, shit. And we all got dressed. And then she goes, Danny, want to talk to you? And I heard Danny talking. And I go, Danny says to me, oh, my mom saw us. She goes, what? What do you mean she saw us? She said she saw your black ass going up and down like that. You're making too much noise. I told your mom saw you. Well, what about your ass? She didn't see me because I was at the corner. You gave it away. And that's how the night ended.
Oh, funny.
That's just how the night ended. They were diversionized. We were there.
And the mother called you.
And mother, yeah, it's like the mother gave us the holy blessing. She said, I had to have a beer after I saw that. So that was it.
Oh, honey.
So the rest of it, then that's when the trouble started. She started liking sex. I started to get worried about how she liked sex. She couldn't get enough. I'm getting worried that she liked too much sex. And if I couldn't give it to her, that she would get it from somebody else. Now she's not a virgin anymore. Her clothes started to change. Her hair was starting to let down. Makeup was starting to come into play. She was becoming a woman.
Mm-hmm.
16 turned into 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like her becoming a woman. I didn't like her to wear makeup. I didn't like her to wear these beautiful clothes. I didn't like her to wear clothes except with her body. I didn't like her drinking beer without me. I didn't like her talking dirty while we had sex. And that would bother me, too. I go, dirty talk? Who taught you to dirty talk? Shut up. Telling me to shut up. Okay. This is not my little virginal girl. She changed all of a sudden. So she started changing, and I go, I can't handle this. She's beginning to be a woman, and I could not, and I wanted to keep her a virgin. And I couldn't handle that. And then I was always worried that she was cheating on me because I was so good. I blamed myself. It goes, why? I'm cursed, Lord. Why am I so fantastic in bed? Why must I be this amazing? Look what I did. Just so amazing. They wanted more. So then I started cheating. I think she was cheating. It went crazy. Went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist goes, what's your problem? I said, I think my girl's cheating. Why do you think she's cheating? And I go, this. And he goes, well, maybe you're not. Why are you cheating? I don't know. And then I developed a problem. That was it. Virgins are a headache. And that's one thing that most people can't deal with. Because what happens afterwards, men can't handle when women love sex, bottom line. You know, it's like sex, 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 love, 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 love. Men get a little insecure because I can't keep up with your sex drive, and I think you're going to cheat on me because you need to have the dick. Some immature women, men think that. I thought that. So I had to settle it with a beer. I'm like, I gotta have a beer. Then later, as I went to the, Alcoholic Anonymous, hello, Brian, hello. That's my problem. I didn't know when it was over. And what I was in love with, I never let her become a woman. I never did. That was the problem. She, 16 turning to 17, 17 turning into 18. She became a respiratory therapist working in a major hospital. She used to call me with her patients. She used to be the only one in staff. She goes, honey, I go, yeah. She goes, I got some pills from the medicine cabinet. I go, what are you talking about? I broke into the thing. These are like uppers. Can we do them together? Then she wanted to do pills. Then she wanted to smoke weed. She started to hang around other people. And then, you know, other nurses who were older. And they introduced her to weed. She used to bring the weed home, and she used to tell me that the nurses will break into the medicine thing and take some of the pills and get high. Then she started getting high. So and because she was a respiratory therapist, she was privy to everybody, doctors, therapists, whatever, medicine cabinet, nurses, naughty nurses, nurses that I would have usually banged. she was growing up, and I was worried. That was because I still remember, you know, back at the house. That was it. So I couldn't handle it. And then, bottom line, why I'm saying this long, boring story, is what was I really in love with? Was I in love with this woman, or was I in love that she was a virgin? It was new to me. And so we have to find out. It goes with the reasons here. Reason that your marriage is over, and we're going to also talk about friendship. We're not going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk friends, too. The reason you must, you know, get rid of your friends. That you're in a toxic friendship.
That sounds like an infatuation.
Yeah.
That you had
but
with
there
her.
Are some...
more of an infatuation, yeah.
Yeah, but we're going to talk, we're going to get deep into this, and we're going to get deep in it. I told you the story, and it sounds funny, it does, and it sounds awkward, teenage love, it's true, it's not my kind of movies, that's how it was, we had a lot of beer, and, but afterwards, dealing with that, did things change after you had sex? Yeah. When she was a virgin, she was 16 years old, she used to invite me, and they used to go to soccer practice, and she was playing soccer with the rest of the little girls, running around, virginal girls, kicking a ball. Soccer practice. From soccer practice to I'm working in a hospital to letting my hair down, wearing no bra, and running around with short skirts because we lived on the beach, and doing marijuana within 6-7 months, too much. So I couldn't let go, but it was killing me. I started to have problems, and I don't know, and the mental problems that I started having is my stomach. Every time I was around her, my stomach would hurt really, really bad. There used to be a thing called Digel. I don't know if they have Digel anymore. Did they make them anymore? But it was. Do you remember that? You remember Digel? They used to be in tablets. Like it's almost like Pepto-Bismol. You chew them. They're called Digel. And so, you know, lived on that because it was a toxic relationship. So even every time that I even got near her, my stomach killed me. Oh, It was hurting so bad. And I had to eat Dijo because when she was with me, her skirts got shorter. Her bra, her bosom started to grow. The summer of a virginal girl, oh, my God. It's like, what happened? You know, cleavage started to appear. Lipstick started to do this. And then she wanted to start doing kinky stuff. Let's make love. Let's make love on the cliff. Let's make love in the car. But what happened, I see, is I don't care. It turns me on. You're hearing this shit. You were a I couldn't handle this shit. You can see what's going on with the guy, right? You can see it. Because I had this image of what a virgin girl would be like before we throw her in the volcano. We had this image. But I could not let her become a woman. And all she was trying to do is become a woman.
Yeah.
All she was doing is becoming
a woman. They all do.
Well, so I did the only thing I could do is I said, I can control this. I can control her. And the only way I can control her is propose to her, get married to her, get married to the bitch. That's what we can do. And I called Danny. I go, Danny, Danny's out of control. Danny goes, Diane's out of control. I go, we sound like two little bitches. What's going on with Diane? Well, Diane's wearing this makeup, and she had this underwear. Brian, she had underwear that wasn't fully underwear. I go, what are you talking about? There was no full. Are you being crossless? Yeah, she's wearing crossless shit. I go, shit, she's a whore. Your girl's a whore. Your girl's more of a whore than my girl. Let's have a beer. So we had a beer, and we discussed the whores that we're with. What are we going to do? I don't know. We got to put a stop to this. He goes, yeah. Diane wants it all the time. Sandy wants it all the time. Does Diane suck her dick? Yeah, she does, and she's sucking it different. Sandy's sucking my dick different, too. She likes to slurp now. She used to bite the tip. I'm sorry.
Oh.
The beginning of the blowjob of a virgin. Nibble, nibble. Don't nibble on it like a carrot. I'm not a bunny. Anyway. So we had a hard time. Danny finally broke up with Diane. He couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take it. His mind, he goes, I couldn't take it. Sandy, I said, I can control her. What are you going to do? I'm going to get engaged to her, get married. You're going to get married. If I get married to her, I can control the bitch and stop her from all this whoring. He goes, good idea. So I proposed to her. I said, would you marry me? She goes, yeah, of course I will. Now let's go fuck. Can we fuck later? This is a good part. It bothered me. Even though I'm an amazing fuck, I got to admit. But it bothered me. It bothered me, really. I figured if I married her, I can take her back to Virgin Town, put her back on the right track, and not be, and I know what I got to do. My first thing what I got to do is not have sex with her. That's the first thing. That'll do it. That will do it, because her not having sex, she'll go back to Virgin Town.
No, I don't think so. Jeannie's already out of the bottle by then.
I wish I had you as a friend, but it made sense to me back then.
Mm-hmm.
It made it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you like me anymore? I love you. Well, do I make love right? You make love perfect. Then how come we can't have sex when we're alone? I don't know. It got worse. So what did I do? Mm-hmm. I got engaged to her, and I said, I can't handle her. I got to go back to somebody. I got to go back to my whore. I got to go back to who I was, and I was a male whore. So I found this beautiful. Sandy was this a girl turning into a woman. I needed a woman. So I went to this other girl. This girl, 20, I was now 19. This girl was 25, a woman. Hair down, walked like a woman, wore no underwear, and the sun went through her dress, and you could see pubes. This was a woman. Wow. And she walked to me in slow motion. Her hair is all wet with the puffy lips and the puff daddy lips and no dress. And there's, oh, my God. And she goes, hello, Brian. I go, huh? Hello, Brian. I said, huh? Hello, Brian. What? Would you like to go to my car? I need a beer. Beer? Two beers. Go to her car. And we did the rock and roll. The feet were on the, her feet were on the other side of the window. My feet were on the other. I don't know how we did that. Maybe it was a 69. What's my feet doing there? I have no idea. Her feet was on the ceiling of the car. My butt was all rubbing up. I got a rash because I rubbed up against the leather. It was beautiful love. Love was in the air. And I felt good because for one time my stomach didn't hurt because I felt good because I was fucking a whore. I'm home. Hi, Mom. I'm home. Yeah. I didn't have to worry about the virgin. So that was the key. So I balanced it out. Because I miss whores. I wanted Sandy to be a whore, but I didn't want her to be a whore with nobody else. I wanted her to be a whore with me, but I wanted her to contain the whore and let me lead her to, you know, the worst of the worst in hell.
Yeah, you wanted to be the bad influence.
I did. I did. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be the Bronco that she rides. But she was had her own way, and I couldn't handle it. So I had to do one thing. I liked the other whore. I didn't want to leave the other whore. I was so confused. So I had to do one thing. You know what I did? I got a beer. I got another beer, and then I proposed to her. Lynn, I go, Lynn, would you marry me? She goes, I just met you. Yeah, but I love what we did, so I'm in love with that. You want to marry me or not? Okay. So I was engaged to two women.
At the same time.
At the same time, I'm going, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't drink beers anymore. That's the problem. You know? So I figured it out. I was going to marry one in October and then one in January. They'll never find out. Then both of them started making it. Now, the problem was Lynn lived in Boston. She lived in Boston, Mass. Sandy lived in California. I said, okay, East Coast, West Coast marriage, I could pull this off. Because I traveled with my job. I could pull this off. The problem was both of them were planning the wedding. And it got really big. It's like, oh, my God. Who they're by? And I got confused. So one night at Boston, Sandy came to visit me, and I told her the wedding was off. She cried through the whole night, never talked to me again. The wedding was off. She goes, my families are there. She put down the wedding. Everybody's going to be there, her friends. She put a lot of invitations and everything. I told her, no, we're not getting married. She cried through the whole night. She's gone. And then I go to Lynn. Lynn goes, well, I'm going to invite these people. I go, no wedding. She goes, okay. She cried the whole night. She's gone. Now I'm stuck in Boston, horny. What am I going to do? Well, I met this girl who was a car salesman. She was hot. So I went over her house and said, you want a beer? She goes, yeah. Had a beer. Next thing you know, I was inside her. I go, it feels like home. Because she said, you know, Brian, you look like you're depressed. I am depressed. I was engaged to two women. And he goes, did you break it up? I go, yeah, I broke it up. I really feel bad. She goes, oh, I feel bad to you. I go, really? She goes, yeah. How bad do you feel? Oh, I feel really bad for you. Let me just unloosen this up. Do you feel that bad? She goes, now I feel really excited for you. Yeah, me too. And so I kind of rest my sorrows between her legs. And I was happy for a little bit. That was it. Psychotic man. Why was I in love with her? Why was I in love with Lynn? What was going on? Was I really in love with this person? See, I really didn't know this person, Sandy. I didn't know this person. We met in high school. She started to be a woman.
Infatuation, yeah.
Right. I didn't know her, the woman. I knew her as the child in high school, and she became the woman. The woman, to be honest with you, the woman scared me, like Pat does. Mm-hmm. Pat scares me. Pat does.
I don't know why she scares you.
Oh, Pat scares me. Because Pat can read my mind. It's like, no, Brian. Well, I didn't say anything, Pat. I can tell what you're saying. Okay. Let's have a beer. But
what did you say? I scare you?
Yeah, you scare me. You know you scare me with your magical powers. swipe of the crystal balls. Yeah. It's like, are you lying to me, Brian? No. Let me see what the cards say. You lying motherfucker. Okay. Give up. Stop it. No more cards. Why do we hang on to it? Did I love Sandy? or did I love who she was? Because if I loved who she was, it wouldn't have been a problem that her becoming a woman, I'm becoming a man, because I was growing too. Could we have made it? Did I want to be with her? Or did I love just that she was a virgin and she was my accessory? Why did I hang on to this woman for 5 years? Because I sacrificed a lot with this woman.
Five
I was
years,
offered a trip
yeah,
around.
You...
I did. I was. I messed was... with trips, went. Yeah, 5 years of my life, man.
Really?
Yeah, 5 years. A woman offered me to take me to a trip around the world on a boat and all these other women and all this stuff. And meanwhile, I heard Sandy was doing drugs. She was living with another couple, having sex with them in the bed, like threesome, laying in the backyard naked. I said, well, what happened if people saw you naked? She goes, I don't care. She turned into a hippie.
Hmm.
And it really destroyed me.
Hmm.
I couldn't handle that. Danny later, what happened is Danny broke up with Diane. He got back with Diane once. It's like one of those movies, What Happened Later, after graduation. Danny broke up with Diane. Diane was still with Sandy, and they were still kind of friends, but Diane was going on her own way. Danny and her saw each other. Then I get this call. This is now I'm in college. A year, we're out of high school for about a year and a half now. I get a call. I'm playing sports in college. Danny is busy working on a farm, and he inherited his house because his father died, and he's doing very well. I get this call. So Sandy, I remember, Sandy gives me a call because she was at work. She was saying, hey, honey. I go, yeah. And we were not really quite getting along at this point. And she goes, honey, I'm coming home early. I go, why are you coming home? Oh, I just want to talk to you. I go, that's strange. Okay. And it was like, I remember it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? Your shift is not over. She goes, let's get in the car. I go, okay. Do you want to get a beer? She goes, no, let's not get a beer. I go, okay. We're driving. She goes, let's drive. I go, she loved driving to the country. She loved it. I go, let's drive to the country. I said, you know, Danny lives close by. Let's go over to Danny's house. She goes, no. I go, why don't you want to go to Danny's house? And she broke the news. Danny's dead. Danny died. They told her first before they told me.
Oh.
She told everybody. Yeah, she told everybody, I will tell Brian. Don't you tell Brian. So I remember we're driving in a car, and I said, well, let's go over Danny. She looked at me, and she didn't say anything. And it was quiet in the car, and I go, and we're approaching, you know. There, I made a turn, and all of a sudden I stop. I go, what's going on? She goes, Danny died. I said, what happened? So apparently, Danny got on his motorcycle, and he was riding towards the river bottom, and he was crushed by a water truck. He was crushed. He slid under the water truck, and it crushed him to death.
Oh,
that's what happened. Yeah, he was crushed instantly.
Horrible way to go.
I know. And she just looked at me, and you know, you get this. When you hear bad news, you get this vacuum. I cannot explain it. You get your head just goes. There's a vacuum in your head, like, it just like sucks the energy or whatever out of your head. It's like, that's all you hear.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say anything for the rest of the day. It was a long ride home. We didn't say one word. The only thing I remember her saying is, "Are you okay?" And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And that's all we said. That's all we said on the way home. Danny's dead, you know. I know. I loved her mom. I still talk to her mom on Facebook today, to this day. She thinks I'm like her son because me and Danny were so close. That was
it. She gets me in a compromising position. So, yeah, y'all are pretty close.
Yeah, okay. We broke bread and we broke cherries together.
Yeah, I was about to say, anyone
that's
seen my bare ass,
so
I think it's...
Exactly. Don't look at my ass, Ron. You don't look at mine.
I'm going to consider them pretty close.
Exactly. Don't look at my boner. I'm not looking at your boner. I'm going to put mine inside so you don't see it. You know, we're like ghost kids. We broke bread. So that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I never mourned Danny. Never mourned him. He was dead. I never went to the funeral. Everybody went to the funeral. I didn't go to the funeral. His classmates were there. His friends were there. I was his best friend. I never went.
Sometimes
that was
too emotional, Brian.
I've been there. There's been times I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
sometimes
it was too emotional.
It was. And Sandy goes, do you want a beer? I go, no, I don't want a beer. She goes, okay. And that was almost the end of me and Sandy at that time. She gave me her hug, and I looked at her. She still had her engagement ring, and I knew this was over. I knew it was over. She didn't know. I changed. Now I didn't care about her going into this. And then I remember I had to go on a trip, and things started to change after that. You know, Danny's dead. She's no longer with Diane, and things started to change. When I went on a trip, it was like I started suspecting her because she started wearing teddies and shit, and I never went shopping with her. I went on trips, and so I remember, I'm going to catch this bitch. And so I started to get angry. So I bought condoms. There was 12 in them, and I counted them. I came home from my trip because I did some stuff. Entertainment stuff, production stuff. That's when so I came back from Boston, mm-hmm. came back to California. Sandy goes, that's fuck. And I go, I'm not in the mood. And then I kind of look in the closet and I'm going, what is this? She goes, oh, that's a teddy. I go, when did you start wearing teddies? Oh, come on. Are you going to accuse me? I wasn't accusing you. I was just wondering, when did you start getting, I mean, you got red and black teddies and you got these straps and what's in here? It's a toy. When did you start getting the toy? Well, you're gone most of the time. But we never talked about this. And then I said, okay. She goes, well, I'm going to go in the room. You're just accusing me. You know, I go, I'm not accusing you. I'm just, now you're going to accuse me? I go, no. So she went, I'm taking a shower. She went, take a shower. Then I looked in the condom thing that I bought. Four of them were missing because there were 12.
Mm.
There was only eight.
In there.
She comes out of the bathroom. I says, how come four condoms are missing? Oh, you're accusing me, aren't you? I go, this time I am. I mean, how did four condoms are missing? She goes, oh, you're just so jealous. You know what I did with them? I go, what did you do with them? Well, I wanted to see if they held water. I swear to God, this is an excuse. I wanted to see if they held water, so I put them in a sink, and I blew them up with the water, and I threw them off the roof. I said, you took four condoms to do that? Yeah, I wanted to see if they held water because I heard that some condoms leak. So I was just testing them.
Oh, she's full of shit.
True story.
That might have
worked
one.
Yeah, that's what I said. One. True story.
If she was smart, she would have just said, oh, my friend of mine needed them. He was going
exactly.
on a date and stopped by here and needed them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
that would have been more believable than throwing them
off. Exactly. Exactly. But I had such an ego. I had such an ego that I did not believe that it's true that a woman could cheat on me. I wanted to believe. As bizarre as it was, I needed to believe that's true because the other thing would be too devastating that she cheated on me. Right? So no matter how bizarre that excuse was, you needed to believe it was true to get through
mm-hmm.
the next day. I go, okay. So she did. We did. And she made love differently. She was more aggressive. And she goes, let's try this. I go, where did you learn this? Why are you always accusing me for shit? You're accusing me. You're accusing me about everything. And then that's when I get blessed. Four condoms, do you really fucking believe that? You and I have been fucking since in high school. We went to condoms every day. We went to this thing. You know about condoms. Now we're in our 20s, and you're telling me, you want me to believe that four of those condoms that you didn't know that they can hold water? You really want me to believe that shit? Oh, you're just accusing me. I'm going back. I'm going over to my friend's house. You're just jealous, and I'm sick of it. That was it. And then she left, and then I said, to you, Danny. I went in the refrigerator. I said, to you, Danny. And I got a beer. And toasted Danny in
mm-hmm.
heaven. And lay down and drank my beer. Saying, this is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying, reason that your marriage is over, sometimes we don't want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't want to believe the signs
okay.
that are there.
Yeah.
Because it's more devastating to believe – that somebody's cheating on you or somebody's lying to you. It's more devastating. We can't handle that part yet. We're not there yet. So whatever silly excuse that they will say, we want to believe. Even though we know it's silly, we want to believe. And so I asked you guys, this is what the show is about. So I asked you, Robin, and I asked mm-hmm. you, Pat. You are beautiful ladies. We're well over our 35s. All of us
Thank
are over
you.
35. We have had boyfriends Please. And girlfriends in high school and maybe college. So I go to you. I go to you, Pat. Have you ever been cheated
okay.
on?
Okay.
Have you ever been cheated on?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, not of course. You're not supposed to be cheated on. Well, yeah, of course. Now I'm going to put a spell on you, Bride. No. No, Rob, I mean, Pat, not of course. You're not supposed to be cheated on. No.
It happens.
And when it did, well, you're more mature than I can ever be. But I'm asking you, the first time you were cheated on, did you want to believe it? And the guy told you a lie, I'm sure. No, I'm not cheating on you. And he told you a lie.
I was cheated on?
Yeah.
My cousin had to leave town for 10 years because if I found her, I was going to kill her.
Oh.
Oh, it was your cousin.
It was your cousin? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's bad. That is bad.
Yeah, on
Did
my
you,
wedding night, you know, like, come
are
on.
You cheated on you on your wedding night?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I found out those two were having a big affair. Oh, yeah. They were, having quite the amount of fun when I was out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, those buggers would wait for me to fall asleep and they'd fuck off.
Really? So you had your cousin was living with you at the time? With you and your husband?
She was
or future?
Staying with us, yeah.
Oh, big mistake. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, how long did you stay with this guy when you realized he was cheating on you? Did you leave right away, or did you not believe it? You blamed her? What happened?
That's a long story.
But the short story, did you break up with the guy right away, or did you stay with him a little bit longer?
I put myself in the hospital so I wouldn't kill him.
That's right. That's what you said. Wow.
I understand that feeling.
Yeah.
My very first love, and he did that. He cheated on me and then turned around and married the bitch.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he broke up with me because I was of underage. He was scared to death of my mother. And then, of course, the girl he left me for, which he had been seeing on the side, that I pretty much figured it out, but I knew something was up. But, several years later, he ends up marrying her, and they're still together.
Wow. You know, there's a song, The First Cut is the Deepest, and that is a first cut,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? The first time that your love cheated on you, that first cut is the deepest, isn't it?
It is.
Just like, wow. And how long did you stay with him, Robin, when you suspected that he cheated? Did you break off right away, or did you just couldn't believe it and you just had a – what did you do?
Well, I could tell when we got on Valentine's Day when he gave me a card that says what's warm and mushy and reminds me of you, and it said oatmeal.
Oh, that's stupid.
What?
Yeah.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
Like, oh, yeah. Somebody else
on
is
Valentine's
getting
Day?
The gift card. Yeah,
oh,
on Valentine's
yeah.
Day. I've never celebrated it since.
Seriously?
Never
How
celebrated
How long ago was that? How many years have that gone?
Well, I was 16, so, yeah, that's been a long time.
That's like 16 years. You haven't celebrated Valentine's Day for 16 years, over 16 years?
No, I since I was 16.
Right, but you said you haven't, you're about 34, 35 now, so I was saying all these years.
I'm 39.
And you have not celebrated Valentine's Day at all?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, Ryan loves you. You love Ryan. Why doesn't Ryan give you a card or something? Ryan loves you very much. Shouldn't that erase everything that hurt you had at 16?
Well, he's not really that sentimental when it comes to Valentine's Day either. So
yeah,
I mean,
me either.
It's not a big deal for us. So
me,
we're not,
you know what?
Okay? We just don't
I'm the same
do
way.
It. Flowers. I'm allergic to cut flowers. I don't need
right.
chocolate. Daddy gets me chocolate
right.
for Valentine's Day. You know,
right.
What else? I mean, what else do you do?
I hear you.
You can't go out to
no,
eat. Everybody on town is out eating. So.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I don't celebrate. Mm-hmm. I can't. One time I brought home, it was Valentine's Day, and I'll never do it again. I did the chocolates, and I did the flowers. The flowers cost like $75. The chocolate cost like, at that time, $25. I spent about $150 on Valentine's Day. Gave it to the person, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Are you fucking stupid?" I'm going, "But I love you." She goes, $125, we could have done this, we could have done this, we could have gone to this place, we could have gone to Vegas, and you know I don't eat chocolates, I'm on a diet, and this, are you serious, $120, you know what we could do with $125? So you know what's funny, I'll tell you what's funny, this is the stupidest thing. So I fucked up on Valentine's, I go, fuck this, she's right, she's practical, she's right. So it was last year. It was Valentine's Day. True story. And I go, you know, it's Valentine's Day. My girl goes, yeah. So, well, this is where one girl expressed love to the guy, and I'm the guy, and I should have love. She goes, really? Are you serious? I go, yeah. She goes, true story. I said, come with me. She goes, okay. So we're in Kroger's. It was Ralph's or Kroger's, wherever you were, and we were in the Hallmark section, the card section. She goes, yeah. And I picked out a card. I said, here, read this. She read the card. She goes, oh. I go, you like that? She goes, yeah. I go, okay. And then I put the card back. She goes, okay, honey, read this. And I read it. I go, oh. And then she put the card back. Those were beautiful. I said, those were beautiful words. She goes, yeah, weren't they? Let's go eat. I'm not going to pay no $4.99 for no stupid card. She already read it.
That's like me. It's like, be practical.
That's what we did. $4.99 a card. Look, honey. Look. Oh, that's so nice. I go, look at my card. Ooh, we put it back. Not paying for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times when you buy a card did they read it more than once? Nobody in this world read cards, Valentine's card, more than once. You read it one time, you put it down, you never look at it again. Never.
I read that oatmeal one a few times.
Yeah.
And every time I did
hurt.
It, just made me angrier and angrier.
Ooh. Well, you're no oatmeal, that's for sure. You're like a prime rib. You're like a T-boner. Did that come out of my head? Sorry, Ryan. I got a problem with sex. You're a T-boner, babe. Ugh, you're so romantic. 111, you're live on the air with Robin, Pat, and me. 111, hello.
Yes, sir, my friend. How about you?
I am fine. How are you, my friend?
Yes, this is Brother Mike. You know, today people have AI love. In Japan, people in maybe today in Las Vegas, tomorrow night ring is off. You know, so as a result, we have a destruction of the society.
True.
I mean, before the past marriages, it was like you get married. And you're married for lifetime.
Yes.
In Las Vegas, and many, I mean, it's so easy because I example Las Vegas because people go there, they pay about $100 or say $300.
Mm-hmm.
They get all the certificate, everything, and they go party the night. And in the morning, they say, you know, you are not belong to me anymore. I don't like, I mean, for any reason, 24 hours marriage relapse. Please tell me where in the world have you seen that? Go ahead, sir.
Never.
Well, I knew a guy that married the same woman 6 times.
Are you serious?
Really?
I'm absolutely 100% serious. And I asked him, I said, what was the shortest? I said, what was the shortest marriage?
Wow.
He says, I kicked her ass out of the car on the way back from the courthouse.
So he
never married anybody else, but he married it.
Wow.
6
Wow.
Because it shows
he did
dysfunctional
have,
that society.
That was,
dysfunctional
he
society.
Did have, the, he well, did have 2 daughters with her,
oh,
so that's the
oh,
reason
he, did.
He kept going back. Yeah, that's the only reason
he must
kept
have had a beer.
Her.
He kept remarrying the same woman. Oh, my God. That is something else.
6
but,
times.
6 times. Now, brother, is it Brother Mike? Is it Brother Mike? Are you there? Brother Mike?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are
I
you,
hear you loud and clear, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Are you married now?
Of course, 20, oh, yeah, about 30 years, you can say that.
30 years?
Yes.
How many wives do you have? Do you have just one or you have more wives?
I mean, I'm not a Mormon, but but no,
I'm not a Mormon.
I have only one wife. She knows
only one. Okay.
I go out and come back. She knows exactly where I go. I mean, not she's
right.
controlling, but I mean, she
right.
knows I go whatever I do. I go outside. I come back shopping or something or at work, etc. She knows, and vice versa for her. She also goes work and she come back and you know so there is no
no you trust each other
yeah
that's yeah. how Ryan and I are
yeah well I would love to have that trust man I would now do you have any children within that 30 year marriage
no I don't personally
you don't have
because
children.
It's called less child. Is better economics, my friend. Today, inflation is so high that if American people, they cannot produce more child because during the COVID, everybody was separated. A wife, you know, sleeps in room A and husband sleeps room B. So
right.
this COVID was also
wow.
partially was responsible to make us so we can reduce the less child. And so, you know, so we don't. Yes.
Wow.
You've
I don't know
married
what questions
30
I
years
get.
And you're still holding out for the kids.
Yeah, look at that. Wow. What makes her? Is she American? I'm sorry, your nationality, sir? Are
no,
you
no.
an American?
No. My wife is China. I live in Singapore. Yes.
You live in Singapore. Are you Chinese too, sir? Are you Chinese?
No. I am American citizen, but I live in Singapore, sir.
Okay, you live in Singapore. Are you calling from Singapore or are you calling from America?
No, I'm calling from Singapore, sir.
Wow, look at me, international. I'm known in Singapore. Hello, Singapore.
Yes, Singapore.
Look at that. I love Singapore
nice.
People. I love them. Yeah, they love me. I am the. So would you ever marry an American girl, American woman? If you know about America and you know what kind of women we have here in America, they're strong-willed women. They will cut you if you look at them sideways. You must be very careful with American women, and they're like poison in a bottle. You just got to take them very lightly. Would you ever marry an American woman?
Why not? I mean, first of all, I mean, as long as my wife is alive, I mean,
right.
I am dedicated to her. But
sure,
I don't
sure.
think I will be get married to anybody because, you know, it's not good behavior, you know,
right.
that
right.
My wife will see from the other side that, oh, this son of a gun got married right after I died. So I don't want that to be on my head hanging, you know.
Yeah, I can tell you, it's bad mojo. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
What you hear, and I understand, sir, and I respect that, but what you hear about American, forgive me, what you hear about American women, do you think American women are different than women in Singapore or Chinese women or any other women? Do you have thoughts about American women?
You know, in every land, you have a bad woman or bad man or bad husband and wife. There's no question
right.
about it. But
right.
overall, I think, you know, the lessons that they have learned from the past marriages, for example,
right.
in the United States, I think they are
right.
looking for a man who gives them, you know, security, love, more
right.
love,
right.
not security. Because most
right.
of the women in the United States, they make tons of money, you know,
right.
more than me and you. Most probably.
Right.
But the question is, they want love, you know, to be secure, you know, so when they go work and come back home, so they don't say husband went to the neighbor's door, next door neighbor, and have a good time, and they time out each other, right? So
right.
he is again in the house when she arrives. You see what I'm saying, sir?
I see what you're saying, but, you know, sometimes life does not go the way we expect it. Bless your marriage. God bless you, sir. God bless that you
Thank
got
you,
a great marriage. God,
I appreciate you.
And that. But if you found out or you had a suspicion mind, if you had a suspicious mind about the people you love, what would you do, sir? Would you leave that
okay.
person, or would you try to work it out?
No, it's very easy. Very easy these
mm.
days. You know, mm. first of all, I put a special spyware on her phone, or I put something under her car so I know exactly where she is. And as a result,
oh.
you know, it's problem solved. Problem
solved.
Yes. Easy. It cost me less than $30.
Wow. So you put a GPS on here. So you know exactly
Why
where
not?
She is at all times.
Yeah.
Wow.
GPS.
Wow.
And then you know wherever she is. And then you can call her and say, how you doing, honey? How are you? Where are you? She says, I am in... Target store, but you know she's not in Target store. She's in different areas. So you know,
yes.
The shit will hit the fan soon, sooner than later.
That shit will hit that fast. I know where you are. You're not a Target. All right. Well, I'm glad you don't have to deal with that, but that does happen. That is life. Okay. Have you ever had a friend of yours? Have you ever had a friend of yours that his lovely woman, you know, was a little bit suspicious and he was a little concerned about her stepping out? Have you ever had that from your friends or anything?
Oh, my friends. Oh, no. I teach all my friends, you know, to have love, unity, peace, and tranquility
right.
between each other, because the family unit is more stronger than
right.
than the city will be stronger, then the state would be stronger, and the country would be stronger. So
right.
I teach
right.
them, you know, you have in love with, you know, your wife, you married, all these things. I mean, right now you cannot even afford to have another marriage, my friend, with inflation.
That's true.
I mean, you know, how do you want to say, okay, let us go to the court 1 year and have, you know, make things separate, whatever, and then, and yet you have to wait a couple of years to be everything to be over your systems, because you cannot just say, okay, today I got my divorce papers. Tomorrow you go to another another lady, etc. It doesn't work that way.
No, and yet, it doesn't.
With the inflation, with inflation, it is impossible to have the second marriage. So it's better to stay together and sort out our, their differences. And sometimes psychologist necessary, psychotherapist necessary.
Sure.
And, you know, to be togetherness these days, especially the eclipse of the sun is coming on April 8th. You know, many changes are coming to the planet. So this is not the time and to say, oh, I don't want love you. I want divorce. This is not only the right time. It's better to solve our differences first.
I agree. And I have to, I like your accent. I do like your accent. But you're not Chinese, are you, sir?
No, you know, my beanie is not too small like a Chinese.
You're what? You're not too small like a Chinese? What? What the hell? What?
Oh, you
understood.
I did.
You know? Wow. My God. I didn't expect that.
I think I answered your question correctly. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering if you're from another country, as to how do they deal with divorces? If you're from Dubai or you're from the Arab nations, how do they deal with divorces, and how quickly do they get a divorce, or is there a penalty for a divorce? I was just wondering the cultural status about if a woman decides to go.
Oh,
yeah.
I've been in many countries, my friend. So, you know, for example, in Persia, you know, before the Shah's time, before when the Shah was golden age of Iran, you know, at that time, you know, everything was not so easy to get divorced in Iran before 1979, okay? People have to go to psychotherapy, psychologist, at least 1 year. From the time that they want to divorce, they have to go therapy, and et cetera. And then if after 1 year they would not be granted, I mean, they want each other out, you know, then they would be granted. But during the Ayatollah, which I hope one atom bomb goes right into the Ayatollahs and finish the job and Iran become a free country again. But, you know, these Ayatollahs, what they do, they, you know, women want to get divorced from husband, but because of Islam, you know, they say woman is equal with one man. So when they go to the court, really they don't have anything. Whatever they say, the judge goes with the husband, because you know, woman is a half of the man. So basically, many times they may grant them divorce, but the Ayatollah tells to the wife, he says, come work for me as a Islamic prostitution. And we cover you, you have protection, and you have no problem. And, you know, first of all, tonight you come to my home, you give me everything tonight, and then we start fresh the day after tomorrow. So Ayatollahs are corrupt. Ayatollahs are not Iranian, and this is something that your listeners always has to know. When we talk about Iranian themselves are hostages of the Ayatollah for 46 years. And today we see Israel they have hostages about 200, around 200, or a little bit up and down, but it's about 178 days today. Mm-hmm. And look at it, how the world is, how they are suffering. So Iranians are suffering for 46 years, and, you know, unfortunately, Ayatollahs has their paramilitary, military, IRGC, so, and they bring people from Palestine and Gaza to Iran to shoot Iranian demonstrators. So once this thing has happened, and how much, I mean, 46 years, Iranian try to get the freedom, but they can't because all the time this. So we are very happy that Mr. Netanyahu bombing all these bastards Gaza, because the same people come to Iran and they shoot Iranian. So, matter of fact, thank you, Israel. Thank you, Mr. Netanyahu, because Hezbollah and all those things, these are cancer of Middle East, including Ayatollah. They have to be removed. Go ahead, sir.
The Iranian people do not like the Palestinian people. Is that true? They don't want anything to do with the Palestinian people. Am I correct?
Because how many times they bust, they bring them from Iraq and also they bring them from all those areas, Hezbollah, Beirut, and they bring them from Gaza. So everything is the fingerprint of the Ayatollahs on it in every mass we see today. So, Iranians never loved Ayatollahs. Ayatollahs were pushed down the throat of Iranians. And, you know, unfortunate, you know, so now they're in charge. So if we want freedom, we love America. We love people of all the world. We want once more time to become island of stability.
Right. Well, I'm not quite sure that Iranians love America. I'm not quite sure about that.
Repeat again, sir, my friend.
I'm not quite sure that a lot of Iranians love America. And it's okay. Yeah. I understand, because there's a lot of problems in the Middle East. I understand. And there's a lot of tribal wars in the Middle East. I understand. But I'm not quite sure that Iranians love Americans. I'm not quite sure about that.
Okay. You know, it may be 10%, because sometimes when you see demonstrations and they show in the TV that, hell with the, a small shaitan means Israel, hell with great shaitan America, those people are paid like $5, equivalent of $5. So for $5, they said go and have this banner up. So unfortunately, you know, I guess in any country, it's called manufactured protest. So when it's manufactured, it may show that, Iranian all are blah, blah, blah. No. For elections, recent elections, only 20% went and vote. 80% stayed home. They boycott election of the Ayatollah. Go ahead.
Okay. Pretty good. Thank you for, we don't get many guests explain the politics, what's going on in the Middle East, let alone Iran. We had a person, used to be a reporter for Israel, used to come on the show and let us know what was happening in Israel. It's a very complicated politics that's going on there, my friend. Very complicated. Very dangerous. For you to come into the studio, I will now anoint you an honorary American. How's that? Welcome to America. Look at that.
Thank you very much. You know,
you're
the
welcome.
Question is, we all love each other. We need true peace and unity and love and harmony. solve mm-hmm. our problems, whether it's inside the United States, whether it's somewhere else. But bottom line, you know, we, Cyrus the Great freed Jewish slaves when they captured Constantinople in around over 2,000 years ago. And what happened? Cyrus the Great personally gave them the enough money, gold. He says, please go ahead and rebuild your houses again, but this time make it so good that nobody can come and re-slave you again. So, and the name of Iran, Persia, has came into Bible 218 times. So we can see people in Iran, they cannot wait freedom, because after the freedom, a high percentage, they will be Christian or they will go back to different religions. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Sorry about that. I was looking at something. I love the way you think. So, Brother Mike, right? Brother Mike, you are welcome in this studio anytime. You are now my brother. And thank you for shedding some light on different ways. Honor. You bring honor to women. Even though you're bigger than an Asian man's pee-pee, I understand that. We have that.
Right. And I appreciate you. I appreciate, I think, Santino, if I pronounce your name right, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, we want to have a good functional society. We don't want quarrel. We don't want to fight. Our poison. But unfortunately, you know, in every corner in United States is available. People can buy beer and hard liquor. And that's very bad for society, because especially most of them are made for the very low-income areas. So these people don't have money for other things, but then they go have a beer and hard liquor and a cigarette and vaping and, you know, many other things that they, is cheaper than cigarette you can buy. And then they bring the society down because they want to control it more. And also we are all under collapse right now anyway, but we have to be united together. We have to see that what their agenda are around the globe, and they disunite us with the name of Donald Trump, Biden, and Rand Paul, or whoever else they want. And then they then black, white, yellow, Asian, red Indians, and whatever. And then no repression, with the name of repression, or they give an empty promises. So repression will not happen, my friend. You know why?
Uh-huh.
Because we are collapsed. We don't have money. Okay, even if we want to give repression, okay, but where is the money? We sent $6 trillion to Ukraine, my friend. And even if $6 trillion divided by 400 million population of United States, do you know each one should get how much? You guys do the math. I mean, so we are sick and tired that we have to be the international police of the board. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, you know what? That's always going to be the problem, though. That's always going to be the problem, don't you think? I don't think there's a cure to that problem. It's capitalism, socialism, greed, will always be with us, my friend. It'll
always
be with
it
us.
It always has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I there's this new world since the pandemic or whatever. People don't trust people anymore. They don't trust people anymore.
Absolutely.
They're mm-hmm. rude to people. It's like there's hardly any rules anymore. It's always me within my interest instead of within mm-hmm. Within the interest of all of us or others. I think we changed. It might be me, but I think we changed. And I don't know if we could change back. I don't know if we could change back.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, and it's a shame. Yeah, maybe.
If it does happen, it will take time.
But by people like you and I talking together, Brother Mike, and we have we have Pat from Canada, and we have Robin from Alabama, and we have a Mr. Solution, he's from hell. For all of us getting together and talking, we can bridge this. Yes.
Yes.
But thank you so much, Brother Mike, what time is it where you are? What time is it? Because I'm here in California. It's 11:41. What time is it there in Singapore?
In Singapore, we are in the morning right now. So we are almost 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Ooh. Look at me.
Yes, Tuesday.
I'm pretty good.
Morning, early morning.
We're at 2:30 in the afternoon in Niagara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 1:41 in Alabama.
Yes, but you are in the PM. We are in the morning. We are next day, which is Tuesday morning,
mm-hmm.
right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I hope talking to you guys sometimes in the near future. I appreciate your show. I appreciate your
giving me...
The time to kind of sort some of the misunderstandings people may have, regarding Ayatollahs and Iran. And so basically, or even between marriages, but marriages should not be anymore be like an AI. Just today love. And tomorrow, divorce. If it's like that, better not to get married. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And may I say this, Brother Mike? I can't pronounce it. Please correct me, but I mean it with respect. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Khuda hafiz. That means God
peace
be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be
Thank
with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. And we'll be right back with reasons that your marriage is over. And thank you, Brother Mike. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. I'm pretty good in Singapore. Look at me. Singapore.
How's that?
We'll be right back. I know, right? Look at me. We'll be right back.
I got more important
on me. American woman, take me all my money. Uh-oh. There you go. Welcome back to the show. I am your host from Singapore, Mr. Brian Hammer Jackson. Number one, baby. Number one, bitches. I'm number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, I'm number one. I'm number one. And I have to stay number one because number two stinks.
That's true.
Okay. Look at me. Look at me. Hello. Pretty good. Maybe in Iran. Are you ladies impressed by number one me? Number one Brian. Number one Brian. Hello, ladies.
Of course.
Thank you. Number one in Canada, number one in Alabama, number one in Singapore, and number one in Iran. Look at me. I'm international. Take a piece of me, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. International. I speak the language of international love. Hello. Hello. Reasons that your marriage is over. You know, I told the story, and a gentleman, Brother Mike, came in. And thank you, Brother Mike, for coming in. You're probably still listening. Thank you, Brother Mike, for staying up so late and calling in the show. And thank you for the comment of the show. But Brother Mike is right. You know, I would love to live in that world. I would love to live in, man's been married for over, what do you say, 30-something years or 40 years or something? Yeah. And the secret is, put a GPS on her. No, I'm only kidding. The secret is love and trust. Love and trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think we lost that. I think we lost that in the pandemic. I think we lost that in social media. I think we lost it. You know, I would hate to be single nowadays because the first thing they're going to ask me is, oh, Brian, nice to meet you. I go, nice to meet you, future wife that will take all my earnings. First thing she's going to say is, are you on Facebook? And she wants to be on your Facebook as Facebook friends, and she wants to get right in. I think it's a little too soon with the Facebook friends thing because you would have access to my family. You have access to my friends. And then she goes, well, can we be Facebook friends? We just want each other. And you go, I go, no, it's a little bit too soon for that, you know? I mean, we're not having that conversation because we're over 35. But I could imagine kids are having that conversation. When I say kids 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 are having that conversation, well, I just met you, what's your phone number? And now they just take your phone. I had a girl do that one time. I had a woman do that a month ago. Brian, you know, it was something. I forgot what it was. Oh, I saw her or something. She goes, okay, let me give you my number. I go, huh? She takes my phone and goes, beep, 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 and put her phone number right in my phone without even saying, may I give you my number? She just did it.
Yeah. People will say, give me your phone. And I'm like, no.
Right.
I'm like,
exactly.
I'm like,
right.
I don't know what you're looking at. You know, no.
Exactly. It's like this new world of dating, this Tinder, there's Grindr, there's Rinder, there's whatever the hell it is. Swapping left, swapping right. Because, and then you want to go, and hooking up. When did hooking up become part of dating?
Well, that's the thing. That it's replacing dating.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And, you want to know something that's really interesting? And you can Google this.
Mm-hmm.
Venereal disease, STDs are way up in people who are over 55 and over. Venereal disease is way up. Seniors are having sex and they're not protecting. Right.
Yeah, actually, the U.S. population with HIV and AIDS, half of the population with HIV and AIDS are over the age of 50.
Right. It's like, whoa, where did this happen? I mean, I went through the bullet of all my sex years. Now I got to take a blue pill. I should be safe. And it's like I take a blue pill. I date an older lady. She's maybe 90. I mean, she's still got something going on. I like the way she bends over and she walks that way like she's looking for change. I'm thinking she's ready to go. I rock her world at 90. She can't see her mind's gone. She has dementia.
Bend over and drop her teeth.
Why not? Why not? She's still cute. I like her ankles. So anyway, I go in there. I come out with herpes. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh,
you're 90 year old. You got it. You gave me herpes. You gave me gonorrhea. Are you freaking kidding me? And she, I mean, so she's a slut at 90. I'm a late bloomer. Yeah, I don't even wear them anymore. Come on, get it. Come on, get it. I'm lunch meat. You're 90. Behave yourself.
I remember those. I remember having to wear bloomers when I was a kid.
I know bloomers.
Rated those things.
Bloomers. Yeah, I know. I got bloomers. You know, I saw, I'm not kidding you. This is in California. The commercials about women's vaginas smelling, it's getting to me. I would be watching, I know it's a personal thing, ladies, it's not funny, but I'd be watching March Madness basketball, and there'll be a commercial on about a spray, body spray. And they'll be talking about body spray and this, and oh yeah, you spray your armpits, okay. And then they pull over, and then they pull open their underwear, and they're spraying down there. She goes, even down there we spray. I'm going, what?
Yeah.
They're showing this on TV. I'm going, what? And then there was other commercials that they pull out, and they're talking about women's body sprays. They go, even down there we spray. I go, you spray down there. Why don't you just take a bath? And then the commercial will say, in between baths, we need to spray down there. I'm going, really? You're taking the fun out of. I mean, it's like, do we really need to push the body spray? I know there's personal things that maybe we don't need to advertise it, but they're there. You walk down the health aisle, they're there, you know? I remember I was 12 years old. I don't know why I did it. My dad had his cologne in there. I go, well, I wonder what it is. And I put the cologne on my chest. It burned. I put it on my armpits. It burned. I go, I don't know why I put the cologne on my balls. I had no reason to put it on my balls. There was nothing, you know, but you're just there because you're 12 and you want to play with everything. I even put it in a crack in my ass. But I remember I put it on my balls and it burned like hell. Burned like hell, going, oh, man. Man, and I never did that again. And then I remember I was at a club. We go back in the car. Guys go to the car. I had my condoms in the glove compartment, and I also had my emergency cologne in my glove compartment. You never know when you're going to get in an accident that you have to put on cologne and rush to an accident so they can say, gee, you smell good. You never know.
Yeah. Emergency cologne.
I had emergency cologne. I really did. I had. I'm going to tell you what was in my glove compartment at 20. I'm going to tell you what was in my glove compartment. I had a Firebird. Hell, Firebird. 5-speed Firebird. Red, like you would not fucking believe. Woof. Nice one. Tires up, high up. Firebird. 5 to the floor, girls. But I would go to the club, right, Mr. Dude. I'd be Mr. Dude. Hello, I'm Mr. Dude, and I'm dancing. She's dancing, she's sweating, I'm sweating. We get close and go, uh-oh, we're slow dancing. And then we know when the slow dancing is getting a little bit too intimate because we'll push our hips with each other a little bit too close, like, and then she pushes back, I go, okay, that's go time. Because if you're slow dancing and you're grinding your hips to them a little bit and then they pull back, it's like, okay, maybe we need a little bit more drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when they when you push your hips into them and they push their hips into you, it's like go time. Then you make the move.
Whoa.
Would you like to go outside and get some air? Oh, Brian, that you never ask. Air is good. Air is very good. Air is good. I like air. Do you like air? I like air. So we go out because we both like air. We had that in common.
That's good.
Yeah. And we're sweaty, then the air gets to us and gets cold and everything. Like, are you cold? I'm cold. Yes, I'm cold too. You know what? Oh, what a coincidence. My car is right here. Oh, really? That's your car? Yeah. What a coincidence. I don't know what it's doing here, but I get, well, since it's here. You want to go in my car? Yeah. Yes, I would love to go in your car. You like to go in my car? Yeah. Okay. We'll go in my car. That's how it worked. That's the move. And then we go.
That would
yeah.
Not me. Yeah. I would be wary of that. I would be like, yeah,
you'd be
I'm
wary.
Serial killer. Mm-hmm.
I would have to throw you in a trunk. Get in there. Drive you to a lake.
I'd be a prank.
No,
yeah.
Really, Robin? Would you really be
yeah.
wary of that? Really?
I would.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I would not ever go outside by myself with some guy I met at a bar.
Really?
Ever.
You have
yeah,
never done that.
Yeah, I want
that,
to be
Robin.
Seen again.
You want to be seen again?
Yeah, I don't want to disappear for life.
You see your friend coming in the bar the next day. Have you seen this woman? No. Well, I think Pat is more trusting. Pat will get in the car. Pat, will you get in the car? Come on, Pat.
Sure. I'm going to
Pat. See, she has no fear. Pat goes, where's your car? Where's your keys? Take it easy, lady. Let me drive it. No! Let's get in, Pat. In my glove compartment. In my glove compartment, you will have condoms, mouthwash, emergency cologne, and you will have a little drink of bourbon. You know the little travel kits? Those little drinks, just in case you have to drink in
the
car. You would have that.
Yeah, or the
that would be,
miniature.
Those miniature drinks?
Yeah.
You would have that.
Yeah,
you would have
miniature.
Two. Yeah, so my glove compartment was a mini bar and a pharmacy, basically what my glove compartment was. That's what it was. It's like, oh, and some mints. You got to have the mints in there. You got to have the mints. So it was like mint, and I put down a glove compartment, and she goes, oh, my. I go, yeah, that's right. Pick your poison. She goes, are those... How long have you had those condoms? Not long. Have a drink. Want a beer? I was raised by that in high school. Want a beer? Wow. Next thing you know, hose up, panties up. I'm in there with the condom. Just a minute. Try to fit the condom on. And the fiber backseat is not very big. It's like... Uh-oh. And you have to roll down your window, your butt sticking outside of the window, and go, I need more room, my big black ass sticking out the window. And it's like, okay, that's rock and roll. As long as nobody comes by and pokes me in the ass, we're good to go.
And
that's
the truth.
Remember those days, girls? Robin, car? Did you have car? You know what? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I did.
That's right. Pat, did you have car, you know what?
Did I have car what?
Did you have car intimacy?
Oh, my.
In a car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The car was our motel. That's what it was.
Yeah. Sure what was this 1973 Cornet. That was, oh, I love that car.
Wow. Well, here we go. Back in memory lane. These are a few common reasons why people stay in a harmful friendship. Oh, that's a friendship. Let's go with the relationship right away because I'm losing people. They want to hear me go on and on and on, but I'm trying to set it up. Sometimes I go too long. Let's go right here. Here we go. That's toxic friendship. Before we get to friendship, let's go with relationship. Why do people stay in it? There's different reasons. Why do people stay in it? Some of the lake, my brother. That's for you, brother Mike, if you're listening. Some of the lake. Okay, here we go. That's my stall music. You know when you go hold your hold music. Hold please. I know, honey. That's all I got.
Saw a squirrel.
13 signs. These are 20 signs that your marriage is over. Here we go. No emotional connection. Endless conflict and absence of excitement. You can't trust each other. You keep your partner out of your plans. All those things. Here we go. And this is where people go, shut up, Brian. This is where women go, fuck you, Brian. I have to go on with the show. I'm sorry. Number 10. These are reasons why your marriage is over. Number 10, domestic abuse, domestic violence, and manipulation across all categories is unacceptable. Physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, none of these are healthy at all. In fact, domestic violence poses a serious warning in any marriage relationship. Okay, hold on there. Let's go with this. We all agree, right? Abuse is not good.
Nope.
But there's different types of abuse. There's mental abuse. Mm-hmm. People play games. The human nature to play games, to test you, to test if they love you, to test if you love them. There'll be little tests. But there's harmful tests like white lies and black lies. White lies and not that harmful, but other lies are very harmful. Just like abuse. And what do you mean by that? Verbal abuse. Let's have a fight. Let's take verbal abuse or anything. Let's have a fight. I'm going to pick a fight with Pat. Okay? Pat's going to go, Brian, you know what? I hate it that your ass is so perfect and you got an amazing penis. Well, I reject it. You say that, Pat. I was like, what kind of fight is this? Really? Well, I'll never be your friend again. Now, verbal abuse. She just abused me with a compliment. How dare you? Now, verbal abuse, is that enough to leave anybody? We all have fights in our relationship. We all do. We all have arguments in our relationship. We all have said something to one another that we should not have said in the middle of argument. Am I correct? We're human.
That's true. Yes.
Now, one thing I have learned through my many of not having good relationships is that there is verbal abuse. You know what, Brian? You're an asshole. Yeah, well, you're a bitch. Verbal abuse. Was that verbal abuse or was that two people just having a difference of opinion? I go to you, Robin. Was that verbal, that act, was that verbal abuse or just two people just pissed off?
Well, that depends on the context and what comes later. If you both laugh at it afterwards, it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just joking around because Ryan and I do that. But no, I mean, if you're serious, that's toxic.
Right. And I like how you think because, see, guys, you got to remember, and I learned the hard way, sometimes you can get in a fight, right? But sometimes you can say something that can hurt so bad that it wounds a person, that it wounds, it cuts a person. Verbal abuse could be like, you know, you're arguing with somebody, blah, 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 and they say something with blah, 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 and you want to hurt them. You say, you know what? You're fat and you're ugly during a fight. Because they're pissed off. You're a coward and you got a small pee-pee and you never satisfied me. You're the worst in bed. Verbal, because people are upset. People are saying things when they're mad. Now, let's go back. Is it just people being pissed off, or is that verbal abuse?
Then it goes back to context. Is it just like if you aggravated someone to the point that you pissed them off that bad, you might be asking for it. You might be.
Exactly. But you know the problem that you're right, but the problem
that
Right, but the problem is that but you know, then after the fight's over, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, honey, but sorries don't. Sometimes if you go really deep and you cut really deep, sorries do not erase that hurt. That's in it for life. You have just ruined your relationship. She may forgive you at that time because, again, remember when I said that I don't want to believe this virgin was a whore? She doesn't want to believe that you really believe that she's fat and ugly. Maybe she doesn't really want to believe that you really think that, or you think she's lazy or she's a whore because in the middle of a verbal spat that you said these things. So maybe she's going to maybe want to forgive you thinking, because she doesn't want to believe you really believe that. But something in her head is staying in there saying, you said that.
Well,
and it stays right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But is that enough? Is that enough? It says 10 reasons your marriage is over. Is that enough to end your marriage? I say to you, Robin, is that enough to end your relationship?
No, I would, you know, sit down and talk about that first.
Okay.
Now, if it happened more than once, you know, yeah, that might be a deal breaker there. But no, I mean, I understand when you get mad, you say things just because you know it's going to get to them. And the longer you've been with someone, the easier it is to get to them.
Right.
It really is.
Okay.
You know them. You know that
okay.
you know their personalities and all, and you know what
that
really gets under the
skin. That's fair. That's fair. And let me go. Pat, are you there? That's pretty fair. Pat, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now this is all hypothetically. You know, we're saying this because we know friends of friends or whatever. We know this. And these are things and signs to ruin a relationship. Do you leave? Okay, he hits you. You're having a verbal fight, blah, 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 blah. He's drunk and he goes, you bitch, and he slaps you across the face. Bingo.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Right.
But it will not happen again. I'm sure he
will.
Brian, you know what would happen?
What?
Instant brutality coming his way.
I believe you. I believe you. Now, he's drunk. Do you give that excuse like, you know, he was drunk and he was stupid, but he did hit me and he treats me right
with
There you go. There you go. Is that enough to end the relationship?
Drunk,
right.
Yeah.
Brian, when you're drunk, you do things you really mean.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do.
Your inhibitions are lowered.
Then why do people? Then I'm gonna go the other side. Then why do we all know or we heard that people stay through that? Why do you think it's financially that they said, well, you know what, I can't get rid of them because I don't have a job, I have nowhere to go and everything, so I have to.
Or there's the standard one. Oh, I love him. Oh.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
They really love me.
They just don't mean it when they beat the dog shit out of me on a regular basis, you know.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, ladies. I'm with you 100%. There's one time I'm ashamed of it. I was brought. My mother taught me better than that. Never raise your hand. She even taught me never raise your hand to another person because when you raise your hand to another person, then you – Oh, I'm sorry, kids. I should have turned off my phone. only I would have that ringtone. I'm trying to get my ringtone. Wait a minute. I'm trying to reach across the room. Stop it. That is my ringtone. Hello. I'm going to sign it with my phone. Yeah, I'm not a sex abuser. Okay, here we go. I have never done that, and my mother used to say, treat you, if you have to raise your hand to someone, it doesn't have to be a woman, just anyone, you lost all reasoning and all level of reasoning. You're resorting to violence. That means you lost everything. You just lost it. You lose. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I agree with you. Number 9. Now, this is the hard part. Let's be honest. These are reasons you leave a marriage. You keep secrets. You keep secrets. Mm-hmm. Don't we all have secrets? Come on. Come on. Is that you keep secrets?
I don't have many.
You don't have many.
I tell you guys,
but you do. I don't have many, but you do have them.
Me and Ryan, it's not necessarily that we keep secrets. We just don't tell every single thing.
That's right,
but
Robin,
he doesn't
tell
care what I do. I mean, he doesn't. But it's like,
but is that enough?
It's like, you know, we don't keep secrets. It's just, you know, he just doesn't really, he's like, I don't care, you know. It's not, as long as it doesn't interfere with his supper time, he's pretty cool with it. And me getting supper ready,
Well, it says here, Do you guys agree with this, what I'm about to say? Not telling your partner everything can be the start of a dying marriage. Do you agree with that statement? Not telling your partner everything could be the start of a dying marriage? Really? You have to tell them everything? And if you don't tell them everything, is it the start of a dying marriage? Do you guys agree with that? I don't.
No, I don't.
A little bit.
Do you really? You really, Pat?
A little
really?
Bit, yeah.
Wow.
You don't. You wouldn't, you know, you don't announce
wow.
to them, you know, I wouldn't sit there, and Ryan and I were saying last night, we sat and watched a movie. Oh,
right.
And I had to use the restroom because I was sitting there sipping on something and it was a long movie. I said, can I mind if I pause it a minute?
Uh-huh.
He said, sure, you know. I didn't announce him, hey, I got to go pee. I'm going to leave that one out. You know, he's like, I don't want to hear that. I don't care about that. But too much information.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, too much information. I'm not lying to you, but I'm not going to tell you everything. I hear you. You're a lady. And Rob, and Pat says the same thing. Not many. I'm not going to explore that, but okay. Number eight, you can never find a middle ground, meaning that you can't compromise. You know, you argue over the dishes, the laundry, you name it, and then a person starts bringing up the past and what it seems like a petty argument. This is the beginning of your marriage is over. Do you guys agree that, you know, you're just arguing over everything? Honey, we're going to get in the car. How come you're always late? Honey, I got this. We're driving her car. Make a right. Why do you mean make a right? I don't know if everything is petty shit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the beginning
yeah.
of your marriage is almost over? Seriously. What do you guys think?
It could be. I mean, who wants to be around that, you know?
Exactly.
That's
true. And that's why we're saying the reasons your marriage is over, you just can't let go. And we're going to get into a little bit more into your friendship because this is love. But people hang on to friendship just as worse. Because I'm going to ask you a question before you get into friendship. This is one question, and you don't have to answer it. And I'm number one in Singapore, Brother Mike. There's a lot of people listening to us. It's like, how many real friends do you have? Or how many cyber friends? Do your cyber friends outweigh your real? You don't have to answer because that's going to be one of the questions on your friendship and why you should leave. If you're in a situation where you have more cyber friends than actually real friends, or you have no real friends at all, and most of them are cyber friends, do you have a problem? And maybe the problem is you. And we'll get to that a little later. Exactly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, here we go. So we're all on the same page, middle ground. Here's another one. This is enough. These are 10 reasons why your marriage is over and you should let go. There's a sense of relief when you're alone. When you're alone, it's like, oh, God, thank God. Oh, my God, thank God I'm alone. Well, you're going for 3 days, honey? Oh, God, yes.
Well, that's not necessary.
Bye, honey.
I mean, necessarily. It's good to have a break, you know. One has a business trip, you know. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, yay, I get the house to myself for a few days. You
really?
Know? I don't have to wear pants if I don't want to. You know?
I'd have to wear pants.
Well, I don't.
Okay.
I can run around in a t-shirt anywhere if I want to.
I don't want to. That's right. It's only between me and honey. Honey knows what I'm doing. It's none of your business. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
And she doesn't care.
And she doesn't care. And honey ain't talking. Honey ain't
nope.
talking. Pat, what do you think? Yeah. Oh, God, I'm alone. Oh, fuck, my God. Honey, I'm going to be gone for 3 days. Yes. Let me take you to the airport. Well, I don't have to go for it until next week, but we want to get there early enough so you don't have to wait. Don't wait in line.
Well,
I wouldn't
be that eager, but, you know.
I'll get you there a week
every
early.
Now and then. It's good to make people realize just how much they miss you, and you miss them.
I, you know, sometimes I do. When my girlfriend, she would go to Alaska. she would go see her grandkids in Virginia. It's like, huh. I dread her going. I miss her already. She's getting, and it pisses me off because she's so happy. I know she's happy to see her sons and everything, but it pisses me off. Like, mm-hmm. Why are you so happy leaving me? And she goes, "Are you going to act like a narcissistic bitch again?" What?
Well, why do you think it that way?
I know, but you're leaving me. You shouldn't be happy. But when she's gone.
Amy got jealous of her of a woman's kids.
Yeah, I'm jealous because I wasn't there. I didn't make bastards. I know. You just want to be with them more than me. They mean more to you than me. Honey, these are my kids. I don't care. I didn't make them.
Like, I birthed them, you know. I'm responsible for them until they feel like
I know. But you know what?
I'm responsible for any day I have until I die.
That's true. But let me tell you something. Dating a woman who has kids, those stepkids will test you. See, if mama likes them more than like you, they will test you, and they tested me. It's like, mama still loves me. They will test you. And you're still an outsider. We're together. We're a family. You're the plus one. So watch it, mister. Watch it. I had that talk. Okay. I think a little separation is good. I think there's no reason to lose your marriage or anything. And when they're gone, you miss them and you talk to them. That's what I do. A little separation is good. Do you guys agree? I agree. Yeah.
I do. Okay. I agree. I agree with that. It is true.
Okay. Here's number eight.
Because when Ryan was gone to Europe for those few days, it was like a mini vacation for me. I didn't have to cook supper. I didn't have to do laundry.
Right.
I didn't have to put on pants if I didn't want to.
Exactly. And you don't have to wear underpants.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I could just run around in my drawers.
Exactly. See, I can't do that at home because I'll do it, and she goes, "Really? You're wearing those? What's wrong with these?" Well, there's holes in them, Brian. I like them. They've been with me for years. They're my lucky underwear. You got new underwear. You got new underwear there. You got a lot of underwear. It is.
That's one thing I did make him get a new pack of underwear before he went on the trip.
Not me. I like mine worn. I like the way that I like the elastic kind of loose and everything. It's not touching my buddies and not bringing my balls up to my chin. I like my lucky underwear. She goes, "It's embarrassing if I go to the laundromat and I pull up these holy underwear." So what? You're jealous? Wash them. Good thing. So that's what I'm saying, Pat. Being alone sometimes. Being alone sometimes is good, right? It's not enough to break up a relationship, is it? Is it, Pat?
No.
Okay. We all agree with that. Okay, here we go.
Everybody needs alone time.
Right. Now, here's one we're going to all agree. Number six, loss of respect. Can you stay with somebody if you don't respect them? See, a lot of people I know, they have a relationship where the guy does not respect them. The woman does not respect him. They're calling each other names, hateful names. They don't want to be around each other. They're aggravated with each other. Is your marriage over? A loss of respect?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be respect.
You're right. I agree with you. Number five, you keep your partner out of your plans. It's like, "All right, look, we're going on vacation." "Yeah, okay, where are we going?" "Well, not you." If I wanted you to go, I would have bought you a ticket.
He hates the beach, and I love to go to the beach.
Yeah, but do you keep him out of your plans, but you let him know you're going to the beach, right? But you let him know you're going to the beach.
Oh,
but you just don't go to the beach. You don't just wake up and go to the beach, and he goes, "Where are you going?" You call him from the beach. "I'm at the beach." You kind of let him know, right?
But, yeah, first of all, it's 300 miles away from the closest beach.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely. That's something we plan. I plan for, and he knows all
right.
about it.
Exactly. See, you're good.
Because, you know, he's here to watch Honey.
Right. See, you're still in communication. That's good. And how about Pat, right? Do you agree, Pat, that you keep it says you keep them, your partner out of your plans, meaning you don't even tell them. You're just going to the beach or you're going on vacation or you're going somewhere. You don't even tell your partner. So keeping your partner out of your plans is the beginning of a bad relationship. Am I correct? Or you want to get out?
Oh, now, that's bad. Yeah, I agree.
I'll say,
Ryan, I'm going over to hang out with my friends. You want to go with me? Nope. I'm like, okay. Okay, not
right.
going to argue with you. But he doesn't
exactly.
tell me not to. He's just like, just be home in time to cook supper.
Exactly. Now, number four says you can't trust each other. We went over that. But I'm going to add number four. When you're together, you're on your phone. I'm going to add that. I'm going to place that with he's on the phone or you're on the phone. She's playing a game on her phone or you're calling on the phone or you're on a computer. She's on a computer, but yet you're sitting in the same bed together. But you're both doing different things. Is that the beginning of your marriage is over or no? Is that just the new? Is that the new marriage of 2024? What do you
think? Yeah, that's normal.
It's normal. I mean,
I had a hard time with it. You're right. It is.
Well,
is that the,
I
that's
did
the
too.
New? I had a hard time with it, to be honest with you, that I'm having dinner and that she would be on the phone, you know, playing her game or whatever. I had a hard time with it. And then
oh,
I said,
brain.
Huh?
It'll me. If Ryan's like looking at something on his phone and I'm trying to talk to him and he's deliberately ignoring me, you know, that makes me mad. But he does that
on purpose. That's different. That's different, honey.
Yeah, he's just doing that because he's just ignoring me, period.
But if I get on the phone,
it drives him crazy because I'm loud.
Same here. If I'm on, what drives me crazy is like we're watching a movie, right? Okay, honey, it's movie date night. Okay, baby. And we're watching a movie, and I turn around, she's looking at her phone. Pisses me off. Can't you get off your phone for just 2 hours and then we can enjoy? You know what I mean? Pisses me off.
I may look at mine if I hear some kind of a notification.
Right. Right.
But
right.
as far as, oh, hang on, I got to do something. No.
Right.
Only time that, occasionally he'll get a work call, and, you know, that
right.
I completely understand because
but
of his job. And
yeah, well, you're
because
right.
when
that's
I come
right.
in at like 2 in the morning that I'm not happy about because they wake me
that's
up.
That's true. That's true. You guys are right. It's 2020. Look, Grandpa, get back in the, you know, get out of the Middle Ages. We got a phone.
But it's,
I understand.
At first, it did, because before I met Ryan, I never had a smartphone, never texted, literally. Never had done any of that. And I was 20-something years old, 26, 27. And I just couldn't. First of all, he about drove me crazy sending me texts. Because, you know, it was all the time.
Right.
And I was never one of these to stay on the phone, even
right.
as a teenager. My cousin Anna, I swear, every moment she had free, she was on the phone. But I was never like that. And, you know, every time I'd turn around when we first met, he would send me a text message. And here I am on this 100-year-old flip phone trying to mash out a response, you know, hit the wrong number so many times to get this letter, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die before I figure this out. But luckily, I got a smartphone because I was to the point that if I had to try and read text or write text with that stupid flip phone anymore, I was going to throw it right out the window.
So you guys made me realize that, hey, Grandpa, we're in 2024. Relax. You know, relax. You know? Because I used to get pissed off. We're at dinner. What are you doing? Oh, honey, I'm just texting the kids. The kids said something. Can the kids wait? We're at dinner. Okay, I text him, honey. Okay, let's put the phone down. Okay, waiter, come over. What'd you like? I said, I would like to have a new girlfriend.
Yep.
It's on the menu. Quit being a smart ass, Brian. Okay. Okay.
I can see that. I can see that.
I know. She throws a, it's not funny when she throws a steak at your face in the restaurant. Okay, that's uncalled for. Number three. This is, we're, and I'm going to explain number three because I'm going to go in detail because number three affected me. My girlfriend's been with normal men, normal, mature men. She had children
mm-hmm.
with normal, mature men.
Mm-hmm.
Then she dated a man-child, me. Wasn't prepared for that. And she's a grown-ass woman. She's an intelligent woman. She's a professional. And she dated men her age that grew out of puberty. But
mm-hmm.
she didn't expect me. Mm-hmm. I still lack it. So we're going to the
age
airport.
Does not determine maturity. I've learned that myself.
Yeah, but I take it to a different level. It was like, because I can't help it. My grandmother used to call him when I was a kid. The boy has the can't help it. He goes, what's wrong with him? He just can't help it. And my grandmother said, you just can't help it, can you, boy? No. And she did a thing, and I'll tell you what, when I was a boy, and she goes, it was a gate. We went to visit her in the East Coast, and she had a flamingo, it was a pink flamingo on her lawn, which I thought was odd. And then we go on,
yes.
And then you have a gate. So she used to say to me when I was a little kid, I was 6 years old, I remember this, of trauma. She goes, Brian, yes, Brian, yes, Brian, I want you to open up the gate. And I want you to get Grandmama her paper, because it was a paper outside the gate. Okay. I go to the gate, and I couldn't open it. I'm pulling the gate. And she says to me, Brian, don't pull the gate. Push the gate. Okay, Grandma. Let's try it again. I'm pulling the gate. She goes, what is wrong with you, grandbaby? What's wrong? I go, the gate won't open. I told you, push the gate, go outside, get the paper, bring it back. Okay, Grandma. I'm pulling the gate. She goes, what in the hell is wrong with you? I told you to push the gate, go outside, get the paper. Okay. And she hesitated. Now get the paper. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go. I'm pulling the gate. She goes, get over here right now. She goes, did they drop you on your head when you were a little baby? No.
That would be the first thing my parents would ask me.
Exactly. Is there something? Is there something wrong with you? No. There is. You can't help yourself, can you? No.
Not listening.
Not listening. You know what she did? She picked me up from my pants from the back. And threw me over the gate to get the paper. Thank you. She actually did that.
I can see that. I would be wanting to pick you over the gate, too.
She actually did that. Threw me over. Can't get the paper. Mean lady.
I'd be picking you over the paper.
Something seriously wrong with you. And it stuck with me. It stuck with me. So Cindy was dating me. It was only a month. It was a month. Cindy was dating me. First time we went to the airport, we're going to fly together. Okay. Cindy knew I was particular, but she goes, okay, you're still at the funny stage because I'm still ha-haing you. You're so cute. I'm still at that stage until I'm not. So Cindy gets a little worried. Until I'm not, and she got not really fast. We go to the airport, and I'm hearing the loudspeaker. So-and-so, gate 24, now arriving. You know, you're hearing that over there in the airport. Gate so-and-so, now arriving, you're hearing that. Cindy looks at me, and she goes, can I trust you not to get in any trouble? I go, I'm a grown-ass man. Remember, she's used to mature men and people act her age. She's not used to men child. You don't need to tell me that. I'm a grown-ass man. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm a grown-ass man. You stay right here. Of course, don't talk to me like I'm a child. Do your business. She goes in the bathroom, and I see the woman. I see her. She's calling gates. Gate number 95. We're now aboard. I see her.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy's in the bathroom. I look around. I go, So I go up to her. And I go, can I ask you something? She goes, yes. And she's covering the microphone. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for Brian the Hammer Jackson. I'm supposed to meet him here. Would you mind paging Brian the Hammer Jackson, number one radio host right now? She goes, you want me to say number one? Yeah, he's kind of insecure. He likes that. He's, you know, she likes that. So what do you want me to say? Could you page Brian Hammer Jackson, number one radio host, you know, right here? I'm waiting right here. She goes, okay. Swear to God. Paging Brian Hammer Jackson, number one radio host. Brian Hammer Jackson, number one radio host. She actually did that. She runs out of the bathroom and she's pulling up her pants. She didn't even have time to put her pants on. You see her pulling her pants up.
Her pants.
She runs. I can see this face. I can see the look on her face. She is pissed and embarrassed as hell.
She's like, oh my God, I've already raised my kids now. I got a grown one.
Exactly.
Got a grown one. I got to watch out.
It's really true. She runs out. She, I'm by the lady, by the way. She goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm going, I'm just, you know, she's paging me. Who told her to page you? Me. And the woman saying, Brian Hammer Jackson, I swear to God, Brian Hammer Jackson, radio number one radio host, it's almost the last time. And I looked at her going, I'm here. She goes, what? Thank you. And you could almost hear her cover my goose, son of a bitch. True story. She's not prepared for this. Not prepared for this. And so we're going there. She's a grown-ass woman, used to be with grown-ass men. So we're going there. She quit smoking. I still smoked at the time. I swear to God. We're on Southwest. We go there, and I ask the people, are we being delayed? She goes, yes, we're being delayed for 30 minutes. I go, honey, this 30 minutes. She goes, don't go smoke. I swear to God, don't go. I said, you heard the lady, 30 minutes. So I had to go through the AT. I had to go through the people again. I'd go back there, TSA, blah, blah, blah. I may get outside. I'm smoking. I come back, swear, hand to God, Jesus Christ, hand to God. And I looked, and there's nobody there. I'm going, uh-oh. So I go next door, and I go, those people who are supposed to be on that flight, do you know where they went? And the lady goes, yeah, they boarded. I go, they boarded? There was nobody there. They shut the thing. I go, can you stop the plane? Because I'm supposed to be on it. She goes, no, sir. I cannot stop the plane.
Oh.
I go, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this could be a deal breaker.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
This could be it. So I'm sitting down. I'm going, what am I going to do? Then I see the door open. I go, oh, goody, the door opens. And I see this very angry woman come through that door. Going, she goes, get over here. I go, oh. And I go through, and they open the door for me. Basically, she held the plane for me. And I'm in front. She's pissed off. I can hear her muttering and breathing. Okay. And I'm trying to play it off. As I'm walking, every eye on me wanted to kill me. There he is.
I'm sure you didn't want him to fly.
They wanted, because I held up the plane for we waited for him. I hate him. I hate him. There he is. We sat down. I go, so, this is pretty good. She goes, you fucker. You dumb. You held up the plane. They hate you. They hate me. Shut up! I go, okay, I've never seen this side of you.
it's a ride if I were to do something. He'd be so mad and embarrassed. His face would turn as red as a baby.
Exactly.
He would do that.
The conversation's like, I told you don't go smoking. They were 30 minutes. Shut up. People were looking at me, and she got mad. Turn around. I'm going, Jesus Christ. Look at her yelling at people. We take off. The number six is the question. I said to her, so number six is, number three.
Mm-hmm.
Absence of excitement. Imagine you living in life and everything is dull. Everything's the same way. Well, that's what a dying marriage feels like. You know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You predict what's going to happen. Everything is the same. Nothing is high. Nothing is low. It's the same thing. You know what he's going to want to eat when he gets home. You know the pajamas that he does. Everything's routine. You don't even have to think about it. It's the same. So is that good or bad? Because it says here, the absence of excitement can ruin a marriage.
Well, some people prefer the routine, you know. Some people prefer a routine and not like to be surprised. But, you know, it is good to mix it up every now and then.
Yeah.
Do something different, you know, somewhere different.
Right. And I'm going to ask Pat. Pat, does John surprise you once in a while? Is John unpredictable once in a while?
Not very often,
Or is he predictable?
He's a Capricorn. He's very steady.
That's how my girlfriend is, too. She's a Capricorn, too. Okay, but that...
I think that's what Ryan
so,
is. December 14th.
Is it really? So you guys are saying routine is not a reason. You guys are saying that a person's routine is not a reason for a person to get rid of the marriage. Is that what you guys are saying? An absence of excitement?
Well, I mean, it's got to be like... Both people have to be. It depends on the people.
Okay, well, this says the lack of excitement should end the marriage. That's what it says.
No, Brian.
Only if one is after excitement and the other one doesn't want to do it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, you know, when you're similar. When you have similar interests, you know, it's easy to, you know, fall into a routine.
Okay. Well, and Pat, do you agree? I hear you, Robin. Do you agree, Pat?
Yeah, I don't know, man. We're pretty happy being just pretty relaxed in there.
One thing is having a partner that's relaxed and cool than a partner who's always excited and have to, you know, twitchy and have to, like they're on crystal meth and, you know, itchy and scratchy. And sometimes you like the stability. You know, sometimes you like, you know, coming home when it's calm and your spouse just likes to just chill, maybe. You know what I mean? Just kick back and you kick back. You know, that's good times. Well, this is so going to the airplane thing. My girlfriend's already mad at me. People on that plane, we're in the air, they're thinking about, I'm going to hang a nigga. I know it's not right.
No, they're probably thinking they're going to lock you in the laboratory for the rest of the flight.
Exactly. I know it's not right, but we're going to hang this asshole. You know? I'm like, uh-oh.
It wouldn't matter who it was. If you held up the plane, everybody's going to hate you.
Exactly. So they're already pissed, and this is all true. This is all true. I'm not even making it up. So she's not talking to me anymore. And it's Southwest. Southwest is famous for their peanuts. I love their peanuts. That's why I fly Southwest. And so I go to my girlfriend. I go, when are they going to serve the peanuts? Well, you just be quiet. Then you turn enough trouble and everything. Why do you want to do this? I go, okay, this is how it's going to be. Okay, this is how we're going to be the whole flight. I'm not going to talk to you. You got an attitude. And she gave me that look. Like she wanted to throw me out of that little tiny window in the airplane. Go, mm-mm.
Yeah. You're about to get pitched out of an airplane
she's the one who's making the noose for people to hang me. She's like, uh-oh. She's
up, I really can't blame her. I would be mad.
Yes.
You
she's
know,
like that.
She's got to be embarrassing for her. Everybody's looking at, you know.
She's
at her,
losing
you know,
it. Exactly. In my mind, she's losing it in the air. It's like, uh-oh, you lost it, you know, because there's nothing wrong with me. What's going on with you? So she's not talking to you. This is all true, by the way. I go, okay. I'm not talking to you. I'm looking around, right, and I'm seeing the stewardess go up and down. I see no cart. I said, there's no cart. So there's a guy in front of me. I swear to God, handed John. This is all true, and this all happened at one hour. And I go, psst. He didn't turn around. Psst. He turns around. He goes, what? Because he's still mad. I go, he got an attitude. Meanwhile, Cindy has her headphones on with her music and everything, so she can't hear. Psst. But she sees the guy turn around. And the guy goes, what? I go, hey, dude. He goes, what? Now, he's ahead of me. Not the first seat, but the second seat ahead of me. So I'm already talking over the guy who's next behind him. So I'm talking over that dude. I don't like him. He looks weird. So the guy goes, what? And I goes, where's the peanuts, dude? Where's the peanuts? Did you get any peanuts? And he goes, no, I didn't get any peanuts. I go, there should be some peanuts. He goes, yeah. I go, did you see peanuts? He goes, we're having this conversation, I swear to God. Cindy's still on her headphones. There's no peanuts. I go, hey, ask the guy, true story, swear to God, ask the guy in front of you, is there any peanuts? So I see him tap the guy in front of him and ask about the peanuts. And he had a bewildered look. And then I'm around him, did you get the peanuts? He goes, no, I didn't get the peanuts. I go, what about the peanuts? Did you get a peanut? He didn't get the peanuts either. So now three of us are bewildered why we're not getting peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Swear to God, hand to God, true story, hand to Jesus. Yeah. So I go, well, this isn't right. Now we're talking, right? This is, now the guy above him that I skipped over is saying, hey, dude, I didn't get the peanuts either. You didn't get peanuts? No, we didn't get peanuts. There should be peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
So now the waitress is, well, whatever, the stewardess is coming back and forth. She's coming back, and she comes back, and I go, I got this. Ma'am, yes. When are we going to have peanuts? Sir, this is a short flight. We're not serving peanuts on this flight. I go, oh. I go, oh. And then she walked past me. I go, did you guys hear that bitch? Yeah, we're not getting peanuts. That's not right. I demand peanuts. I want peanuts too. Hey, ask that dude over there that he want peanuts. He tapped the shoulder on another dude. We want peanuts. Now the dude's raising back, the dude's going, I didn't get no peanuts either. I go, guess what? We're not getting peanuts. He goes, what? Swear to God, this is all happening in the air. Cindy still has her headphones on. She still has her headphones on. Then she looks and she's wondering, why are people talking to Brian? Why are they looking at me? She takes her headphones off. And she's looking at the plane, and now she's saying people are looking at us, and they're talking to us. What's going on? So she goes to me. I swear to God, what did you do? What do you mean, what did I do? Why are people looking at us, and they're talking? What did you do? I didn't do nothing.
You just started.
I didn't do nothing.
Play not dry.
Right. And then she goes, and then a guy let out going, we didn't get any peanuts. She goes, holy fuck. Are you starting the peanut revolution? We didn't get any peanuts. And people are complaining, all right? Just relax. I got this. She goes, what are you doing? We're going to get kicked off this plane. We're not going to get caught. Where is the peanut revolution? And I'm starting the revolution. Wait, remember in Southwest when we had the peanut revolution? Yeah, I know. It's so perfect. What, sweetheart? I am proud that we had a peanut revolution. I was that annoying. I was starting a revolution. I was looking at my fellow pastor. We want peanuts.
Stop it.
No. I am proud of it, and we had to make a stand. There's time of time when a man makes a stand. I want peanuts. Thank you. She's saying I should not be proud. So the bottom line was, no, I didn't do it. I said I wanted peanuts, and you almost got rid of the peanut revolution. I
stop.
No, you were part of the revolution.
No.
Yes, just don't deny it. No, you should not be proud. It's
you
true.
You aggravating that poor woman to death.
I did. No. So I got the people. I got the people right.
Mm-hmm.
I got the people. We started to land. I swear to God, we started to land. Now we're grouchy. We're grouchy. We're pissed off. The captain says, Please wear your seatbelts. We are now ascending. We're going to land. We're going to Las Vegas, everybody. It's 70 degrees in Las Vegas. Have a great time. That'll be all. This is your captain speaking. He hangs up. The waitress or whatever, the stewardess is going back and forth. Everybody get your, you know, your table upright. And we're giving her look mean looks and everything. She's walking back. We get off the plane. Everybody's getting off the plane, right? Everybody stands up. The plane lands. They stand up, and we start. Then we noticed that the stewardess was by the door, and she had this huge bag. And as each person was getting off, she was giving each person peanuts. Here you go, sir. Swear to God. Here you go, sir. She was giving each person peanuts.
So probably got you in a lot more trouble, too.
Exactly, the peanut revolution lives. And when I got there, this is when, so she got the big bag. It was like this big hefty bag, and she put it right in my stomach. Here you go. Thank you. I went off the plane with this huge bag of peanuts.
Oh, buddy.
I'm here in the riot act. How embarrassing! I go, the revolution lives. Don't start a revolution. Nobody cares about your revolution. I'm going to the bathroom, and you're going to stay right here. I said, fine. I'm going to eat my peanuts. She goes to the bathroom. I'm eating my peanuts. Four guys get off the plane, and they go into the men's room, and they go, right on, peanut revolution. I go, peace, and they're pumping their fists. Yes, right, peanuts, peanuts. And she comes running out of the bathroom and goes, oh, holy fuck. I told you, the people spoke. True story. Her being with a man child. That's it. So I asked her one more time. So I asked her, 316, you're live on the air. Is this King? Is this King?
Hey, good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, my brother. You got Pat and you got Robin here. This is King, everybody.
Hey, Miss Pat. Hey, Robin.
Hey.
So, and King, I'm going to ask you this. My girlfriend still gave me dirty looks. She's not over the peanut revolution. We started the revolution. So I asked her. We got into the car. She was grumpy. She was pissed off. I think she was more pissed off because I got away with it and everybody started the revolution. I felt like Malcolm X for one split moment. So it was like...
I think she's more mad because you made a scene.
I made it work. The plane revolted, and we were rewarded with peanuts. We were rewarded. And I started handing out peanuts to everybody as they were leaving. Here you go, sir. Here's peanuts. Here you go, sir. Courtesy of the revolution. Long live the king. She goes, stop it. Okay, so anyway, that's the guy she's with now. She's not with a grown-up. She realizes she's not with a grown-up anymore. This is something different. We didn't talk. We're in the car. And I look at her, and I said to her, it's like sometimes you have to shake things up, make things work, and then she's grumpy. And then I said to her, I looked at her, I go, why did you leave your ex-husband? And then she smiles. She goes, oh, he was perfect. I go, really? Oh, he was great. I go, uh-huh. Then why did you leave him? Well, I'll tell you, he was wonderful. I go, uh-huh. He was not like you at all. I go, okay. Because I can tell she's still
mad. Yeah, when you're going to start making me feel better, yeah.
Exactly. I allow her to give it to me. I go, but why did you leave him? She goes, because he was predictable. I knew when he was going to come home. I knew what he wanted. I knew when he – everything was predictable. There was no highs and lows. It was always that flat line. It was that flat line marriage, like it was dead. It was no peaks and valleys. I go, with me?
Yeah.
She goes, oh, my God. To you, it's like climbing to the Alps. It's up and down, peaks and valleys, earthquakes, turmoil, tsunamis. I go, oh, that's cool. She goes, no. Can you just kind of give me a little bit of – just a little bit of, okay, I will. So bottom line, is it boring? If your marriage is boring, your relationship is boring, is it over? I think it is. You don't have to be extreme as I am, but if a person in a relationship and it's boring, I think it is over. I think it's over. Anybody disagree?
Probably.
No? You can be cool with your guy. You can be cool with your spouse, but it doesn't have to be boring. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're just bored, it's usually over. And number one reason, hold on, King, because I want you to go on. The number one reason when your marriage is over or it's time to leave your marriage, the number one reason is you would think physical conflict would be number one. Your number one reason is the sparks in your marriage is over. It's over. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
it's not like...
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's not like you look at him and go, eh. And see, this is where love and sex have a problem in your marriage. Because your relationship has to be more than sex, but your relationship has to be more than love to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. You grow together. You're interested together. You depend on each other. You love each other. You carry each other through your support of each other. It's more special than that. As long as you have that, you still got it. But if you're just bored, it's time to go. King?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's time to go. King, these are, tell me if you agree with this, okay? I don't know if King's there. Are you there, King?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, now I'm going to go really quickly, and let me tell you if you agree or not. These are friendships, okay? And you have had good friendships, King. You have friendship on the Internet. You have friendship in real life, okay? Sometimes you got to know when to kick your friend to the door, you know? And here's how to do it. And these are the top five. King, tell me if you agree, okay? First, I ask the question, do you have more social media friends? Do you have real friends? That's the question I want everybody to answer in their head. If you have more social media friends than real friends, is there a problem? I go to you, King. Is there a problem if you have more social media friends than real friends? Or do you call your social media friends your real friends because you don't have real friends? Talk to me, King. What do you think? Is that a problem?
To me, it is a problem because a lot of my real friends, a lot of them have, like, since I moved back home to Wichita, Kansas, a lot of them has moved away. And so I only have a few good ones here. And then the ones that I have on social media, there are some that I met in person, and they are either, they're like, you know, dead and gone. So it's pretty much half and half. You know, I got a little bit of friends on social media and a little bit of friends in person, you know.
Good answer. Because there's some people who are disabled. And they can't go out and socialize, or they don't have, you know, they can't get around much and everything.
Yeah.
So there's different causes of that. But tell me if you guys agree, because I'll go really quickly. These are called your toxic friends. When to let go of them? Because we tend to stay in a friendship longer and take more shit by being in a friendship than we do in a love relationship. We tend to give our friends a little bit more leeway, don't you? I mean, so just say yes or no. Yes or no, you want to talk about it if you agree with it. Here it is. These are toxic friends and what to do about it. They say this, toxic friends. They tend to put you down. They joke with each other, but they tend to put you down. When to let go or when to work with that? What do you say? They put you down all the time. Do you let go of that or do you work with it?
Yeah.
Anybody? What do you say?
You get rid of them.
You have to agree too, right? Pat, do you?
Friends.
Okay.
Down.
Okay. We're on the same page. And Pat, do you agree with that too?
Behind your back to other people.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two. Now, this is an iffy one. Number two, gossip. They gossip about you behind your back. Is that a point where you just say, well, you don't know better, you like don't tell my business, and I tell you not to tell my business, but you tell my business behind my back. Do we get rid of them or do we work with them? What do you guys say?
Well, it depends on one time I might let it slide if they didn't know. If I hadn't specified, hey, I don't want anyone else knowing this. Or if you do tell anybody, you know, just make up, you know, leave me out of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'll say things people have told me over the years, but I don't say names because I'm respecting their privacy.
Right. Okay. Pat?
And
I agree.
To do the
same. Oh, I agree, Robin. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Pat? I'm only hurrying everybody up because we only have minutes. Pat, they talk about you behind your back. Get rid of them or work with them. What do you do? Oh, she'll come back around. King, what do? Get rid of them or work with them? They talk behind your back. They're telling your business, King. They're telling your business.
No, I would work
ahead,
with them, Brian. Sorry.
You would work with them?
I would work.
You would work?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Well,
interesting.
Before I kill them. Yeah. Before
okay.
I kill
okay.
them. Okay. You know.
Before you
yeah,
kill them.
It all depends on the situation, you know.
Okay. You can understand, it's like, hey, I told you guys, you know, this is between me and you. Okay, you let it slip out to everybody because they're our friends. Well, you know Bubba. Bubba knows us, man. He loves you, too. No, I don't want Bubba to know my shit. But, okay, I'll do that. And next you know, okay, I won't tell your shit no more. Then all of a sudden they tell Ray Ray. Hey, Ray Ray,
yeah.
you told my shit. Now, what do, King? Get rid of him or work with him? What do you do?
I believe in giving people a chance, you know. So I would definitely talk with them or work with them and say, hey, you know, this is something that you don't say. You know, you keep it to yourself. And then basically I just talk to them and tell them, hey, you know, don't do this again. And then be like, this is your first and last warning. So hopefully, you know, you don't do it again.
Yep.
If you do it again, then I'm going to quit messing with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, warn them once. And if they continue move on.
So we all agree one warning shot, right? Yeah. One warning, right? We give them one warning. Okay.
Because you might accidentally say something that you don't,
right.
you know, to someone that you didn't realize was a secret because, you know, someone kind of forgot to tell you, hey, don't tell anybody. So you thought, oh, it's public knowledge. Or,
okay.
it's, you know, for any, you know, and, you know. You, so you
what happens
say,
if that friend don't tell you about themselves? And you tell them about all yourself, but they're not telling shit about themselves. And you're telling them all your secrets, and they just look at you, and they don't tell anything about them. They don't even send you a picture of themselves. What do you do, get rid of the friend or work with that friend? If they're not talking to if they're not, you don't even know who you're talking to if they don't tell you about themselves. So,
yeah,
and but you're saying about who you are. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't tell, you know, anybody that, you know, I didn't know, you know, personal details, like, you know, things that I wouldn't want told. I would never, you know,
right.
just tell an out stranger my, you know, personal
well,
business.
Well, I'm going to do a test.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask each one of you guys something, okay? Seriously, answer it honestly. Honestly,
mm-hmm.
I'll go with King Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. King Webb. King?
Yeah.
If somebody
yes.
came to you and says, Hammer, what's up with Hammer, King? What would you say? What is this dude, Brian? What would you say who this guy is? Who is this dude, Brian? What would you say, King?
Well, I tell them, I say, hey, well, you know, he has a radio personality show. He's a great friend of mine, and, you know, he talks about a lot of real current events, and, you know, his opinion, it matters because most of the things that he say, it's true. And I tell him, you know, he's a great guy to get to know, and he has a great radio show, and tune in, you know, learn some stuff, you know what I mean? And then that's all I pretty much say, you know, but... You know, if they say anything negative, then I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to have to hang this phone up and quit dealing with you because you're affecting me. You're starting to offend me right now. You know what I mean? So, but I let them know good things about you. You know what I mean? And that's that.
Well, what's one good personality trait that you can say? Give me one good personality trait with this guy, Brian, that you're talking about. He sounds like a good friend. What makes him? But what is a good person? Give me one thing about him that makes him so good to be a friend.
Well, he definitely takes his time out to hear everybody and to speak with everybody, you know. No matter what's going on, he always thinks about others. You know, he always thinks about others.
Well, thank you, because if they ask me the question about you,
welcome.
What is it about King makes him a good friend? And I'll say this. This dude has a heart of gold, man. This dude takes responsibility. This guy has a big, high moral standard. He doesn't like to put people down, but he's not a bitch. Don't put him in a corner. But he does care about people. He has a heart of gold. He's a responsible person, and I think he's a great father. This is what I would say to them, as much as I know you, King. This is what I would say. And what it is because we're friends. See, that's friendship, because you know about them a little bit, you know, and that little bit that you know. And we all keep wanting to learn about somebody, but the little bit that we do know, it's good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And let me go with you, Pat. Pat, somebody goes, you know what? I listened to that show. That dude should be on medication. What the fuck? Tell me one good thing. You're his friend. What makes him your friend? Tell me one good thing.
What, with you?
Yeah. They're asking you about me. Who is this guy? In your opinion, who is this guy?
Oh. Well, heck. I don't know what I'd say, Brian. I know I like you a lot, and we enjoy each other's company on the phone and stuff.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't say anything bad.
But would we say one thing good? This is long pause, makes me nervous. John, you got any questions?
No, I'm trying to think what, you know, there's a bunch of stuff, so it's kind
right.
of
That's my
harder.
Point. Okay, no, you're right. See, I'm saying the same thing. See, the test what I'm trying to do is, do we really, there are some people that was just try to soak up everything, learn all about you, but they kind of keep their self sacred. Well, I don't want to discuss this, or I want to keep this private. You really don't know much about them, but it's like, why are they still around me? So when I ask these questions, and thank you, Pat, for that, because if somebody says, what about Pat? I go, what about Pat? Well, what makes Pat a good friend? I go, Pat cracks me up. She's funny. Pat has a lot of courage, because she'll talk about shit that most people won't talk about shit, and she doesn't give a fuck. Pat doesn't give a fuck. She's a happy person. Right. She's not judgmental. She has a talent of tarot card reading. She's a very spiritual person. And she sees the good in people. And one good thing about her, even though she reads tarot cards, if she sees something bad in your tarot card, she won't say it. She's not about saying negative shit to you.
Well, I will. See, I will when I'm doing the privately.
But that's okay. I understand that. But we're not saying privately, like over the airways. But you do keep private. But that's what I would say about you, and I would think I'd be right about you. Meaning that I do know enough about her to call her a friend, because this is what I do know about her, and these are the qualities I do knew about a friend. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say about you. Even though Pat will say, well, Brian has an amazing penis and a great ass, but I won't say it right now. We'll keep that secret and private. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, then she laughs at me. Oh, God. David's going, Pat's going to say, David, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He needs medication. You know, Brian. But anyway, Pat has never seen my penis or my ass.
You don't need medication.
I do. I use medication as a drink. Okay, now Robin, here we go. Robin, we have talked before. I interviewed you long ago. Now we're starting to be friends. And if Brian came home and goes, "Do you like listening to the show?" What is it about Brian that you like? And how would you describe me to Ryan?
Well, I've already told him. I said you are very loyal to your friends.
I am very
loyal to your friends. And even though you like to joke and cut up, as we all do, you are respectful. You are very respectful.
I try.
And it's, now if I were talking about the show, some people I might, you know, to warn them about the content.
Yes, you have to.
Like, now, don't be shocked. Now, don't be shocked.
You have to.
You hear things like
I accept
this.
It.
I have to do that. But
yeah, you do have to put a disclaimer. I accept it. You're right. But then people will say,
yeah.
What about Rob? Yeah, thank you, Robin. And I'd say, well, what about Robin? What do you know about Robin? Robin's working with you and everything. Do you trust her and everything? I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you something about Robin. Robin is special, and I'll tell you why Robin's special. Robin went through hell and back. She went through hell. She saw hell, and she kicked hell in the ass. She came out. She's very respectful to people. She loves people. She gives them the benefit of the doubt until you cross her. Same thing with the loyalty. She is very loyal to her friends. She is very creative, and she always wants to learn. If you know, she's part of the artist, and she's always into what you're trying to do. And not only does she want to promote you, but she wants to learn all about what you do. She's curious about who you are and want to find out who you are. That's what I would say. That's who I would
Thank
say.
Thank you.
That's what I would
Thank
say.
You.
But it's true, and I think we all would. I mean, I can go back and forth to Pat. And, Pat, one thing is I'm saying this David guy, I'm listening to his song. I'm buying his record, this King, right? You know, don't get caught in my web. I understand that, you know. But why is he your friend, Pat? Why is King your friend? Tell me what quality
he has.
He's
a good person. He is a good person.
Okay. And what makes him a good person?
Honest, trustworthy. You know,
wow.
Considerate person.
Well, he is, though. He is. And that's high praise. There you go, King. Look at that. Mm-hmm. And that is true. And I don't know what King's doing, just in case King's there. And King, how would it go? Well, you know, what's this woman named Pat? She's a psychic. She read my cards and I have no future. What the hell's going on with that? So, why do you like her as a friend? What's going on?
Well, you know, I feel like God sent her to me. I really believe in good angels, you know. I believe God sent her to me for a reason because throughout my life I've always wanted that spiritual counselor, you know, as well as a friend, you know. Somebody mm-hmm. that I can actually talk to and they can understand, you know. And so I'm just a firm believer. God sent me to her for a reason, you know. And so when people ask me, who is Miss Pat? I'm going to say, well, you know what? She is a great woman that you really need to get to know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of wisdom, and she has a heart of gold, you know. And she always takes her time out to – talk to people. She just has a big heart, you know, and she's definitely lovable. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, you know, I share with people and I tell them this many times that I have muted my phone because I had cried because it's like a lot of the things that I was dealing with. She hit it right on the nail and all
right.
I had to do was cry and be like, okay, God, I see what you're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people would need to know she is a wonderful, wonderful human being, wonderful friend, and you know, that's all. That's about it, you know.
You paid her the highest respect because I have never heard anyone describe somebody as a good angel or a high angel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the ultimate
respect.
Look at that, Pat. Look at that, a good angel.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
I the little thing that we know about Robin is we all love Robin. We could tell that Robin enjoys the show. Robin has a good sense of humor. Robin accepts me for being a crazy cuckoo. That's good. But she's sincere, and we're getting to know. And what I know about Robin, I told you what I know about it. But you guys are just knowing Robin. You'll love Robin as much as I love Robin too, because she's good people. She's really good, and she's sincere. I can say that. And thank you, Robin. And if people ask
Brian,
me about
I'm
Pat,
sorry I couldn't couldn't come up with anything better to say. It was kind of like my brain stopped when you asked me what I thought of you.
You don't even have – no, don't worry about it. I know how – Robin, Pat, I'm going to give you the best compliment in the world, okay? I'm going to give you the best compliment in the world. You don't have to say anything. I know how you feel. You'll know what I'm saying.
I know
what's in your heart.
I'm glad to be there for you.
No, I know, and you do. And you do. All right, kiddos. We all are good. I know what's in your heart, and we're good people. Thank you for coming. And what did we learn today? That people in Singapore loves Brian. People in Singapore loves me. They love me in Singapore. They love me in Iran.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was interesting.
It was. Brother Mike from Iran.
Good information, too.
I know, right? I tell you, we're the best show. We're the best show. When I say we're the best show, nobody from Singapore is listening to these other assholes. They listen to us. We're the best show. Hey, you guys, have a great day. You guys made my day. You make me smile. And I'm glad we're all friends. I really do.
You too.
And, thank you. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. All right, love you guys.
Okay.
See y'all tomorrow.
Bye. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Touch of your hand makes my folks react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while the zest attracts. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that is. But whatever the reason, you do it for.